City, move to come out of the...
Yeah, City Council has just come out of executive session. And
we need a motion to come out of executive session?
Yeah, give me a chance.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'd like to have a motion and a second to come out of...
move to come out of executive session.
Second.
Thank you. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, we're back. We're back in our City Council now. We had two issues. The first being employee incentive, and we have a motion. Do we have a motion
yes.
on that?
Yes, you do, Mr. Mayor. The motion is to approve an employee incentive, a one-time employee incentive with $190,400 from the general fund, $46,600 and $3,000, approving that to help to give these employees a one-time incentive with their pay during the holiday.
And Ms. Price, could we just say up to?
Up to.
We wouldn't necessarily spend all the money, but
okay.
Yeah.
Did that include where the $3,000 was coming from?
Stormwater
fund.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
Steve second.
Second.
Huh? Steve second.
Okay.
I moved it.
Okay, very good. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, let's see. Oppose? Okay, there. All right, it passes 5-2. Okay. The second item was the city manager compensation. And do we have a motion and a second for that?
Mr. Mayor, upon the city manager review and looking at the compensation, I'd make a motion that we approve the salary that was discussed.
Okay, we need to say that number?
No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. You do?
Sure, it's a public figure.
I think so.
Of $133,000, please.
Second.
We have a second. Okay. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay.
Mayor, if I could just put a couple of matters on the record as well.
Certainly.
As far as the employee incentive, our plan will be to take these amounts to the finance department. We will bring that back to council at the November 12th meeting to show a proposed dispersal. And then, again, I just want council to know what a pleasure it is to work for you as your city manager. I appreciate the many kind words you said when you appointed me in November of 2010, and certainly the kind words that you've shared in the executive session about the job that we're trying to do for you. We definitely want to work with you any way we can. If you have concerns, I'm happy to meet with you or meet with your constituents so we can work through them together. And I appreciate the opportunity very much.
Very good. Thank you, Richard. We appreciate your efforts, too. Okay, this concludes our City Council meeting. Okay.
Good night,
everyone. Guess the debate's over yet?
It might be.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting on this beautiful day of October 22nd. Thank you for being here. I look forward to conversations that we will have. And if you'd like to speak on any particular issue that's on the agenda, you certainly may do that. It's by letting us know that you want to speak appropriate time, and we'll be glad to allow you certainly to do that. Please try to keep your comments to about 5 minutes. We do have some presentations that we recognize will take longer than that, but if you can do that with your comments, that would be great. As we do call our meeting to order, we'll have our council prayer and pledge allegiance to the flag.
Let us pray. All-knowing and merciful God, we beseech you to continue to watch over us, guide us, and inspire us. Show us how we may best do your will and walk your way. We thank you for the many blessings you have showered upon us. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business is the minutes, consideration of the minutes from the regular meeting of October 8th, 2012. Do we have a motion and a second?
I so move.
For approval?
Second,
okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. For the presentations tonight, we've got have one, Purple Ribbons for Hospice. And we're glad we have that. Richard, would you lead into that, please?
Mayor, thank you very much. Michelle Lane is with us. She's the Aiken Community Relations Liaison for Hospice Care of South Carolina. And she has a request for the placement of purple ribbons downtown. As we've done with other requests, she has asked that these purple ribbons be located at Lawrence and Park, Lawrence at the Alley, Lawrence at Richland, Newberry at Richland, Newberry at the Alley, Newberry at Park, and Chesterfield at Park. And that will be in recognition of November as National Hospice and Palliative Care Month. And I believe she has some information to share with council as well. Michelle? Okay. Right okay. Here to the microphone. There's a microphone right by that projector in there.
And what we wanted to do, we just wanted to bring this to the city council. And what we're here to do is provide awareness to an underserved portion of the community and the population. And we're the leading provider of hospice in the state of South Carolina and palliative care. We're also the only provider that takes care of pediatric patients in Aiken County. And so what we'd like to do is ask the mayor to proclaim National Hospice Month also for Aiken County and then allow us to place the purple ribbon downtown.
For the city of Aiken?
Yes.
City.
I'm sorry, for the
right.
City of Aiken.
Yeah, we can't quite get up in the county yet.
City. I'm getting a little excited.
We're excited.
Yeah. Well, do we have a motion and a second? Then we'll see if we have any questions.
I so move.
Second.
Okay. Any comments?
I would just like to say we appreciate what you do. Did you say you work with pediatric patients?
Yes, ma'am. We're the only provider in South Carolina that does that.
I could not imagine. It's very difficult to just work with adults who are at the end of their lives. And to just imagine working with children who are experiencing the same thing. I just thank you very much. Take caring and compassionate people to do what you do.
Thank you very much.
Sure does. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Michelle, I'll come down there and read the proclamation.
All right. Thank you.
I'll get over here.
Pardon me. Whereas hospice and palliative care provide the highest quality of care to patients and families and bring comfort, love, respect for all those who serve the communities across the nation and here in Aiken, South Carolina. Hospice care and palliative care providers take the time to ask what's important to those who are they're caring for and listen to what their patients and families say. And hospice and palliative care professionals, including physicians, nurses, social workers, therapists, counselors, health aides, and clergy, provide comprehensive, compassionate care that make the wishes of each patient and family a priority. Whereas pain management and symptom control, caregiver training and assistance, and emotional and spiritual support allow patients to live fully until the final moments, surrounded and supported by faces of loved ones, friends, and committed caregivers. And whereas the provisions of quality hospice and palliative care reaffirms our belief in the essential dignity of every person, regardless of age, health, or social status, and that every stage of human life deserves to be treated with the utmost respect and care. And whereas every year more than 1.6 million Americans living with life-limiting illness receive care from the nation's hospice programs in communities throughout the United States, and more than 468,000 trained volunteers contribute 22 million hours of service to hospice programs annually. And whereas hospice and palliative care providers encourage all people to learn more about options of care and to share their wishes with family, loved ones, and their health care professionals, now therefore be it resolved that I, Fred B. Cavanaugh, Mayor of the City of Aiken and City Council, do hereby proclaim November 2012 as National Hospice and Palliative Care Month, and encourage citizens to be understanding and supportive of those patients, families receiving the end-of-life care in the Aiken community, presented this 22nd day of October 2012. So Michelle, Lisa, thank you so much
for
doing for the community.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you for coming to see us.
Thank you so much for having us.
We look forward to seeing the ribbons.
We'll get up there.
Under old business, we have a second reading and an ordinance to designate the Gaston Livery Stable to the Aiken Historic Registry as a landmark property. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance designating the Gaston Livery Stable as a historic site on the City of Aiken Historic Register. And we have in the materials the original application by Lucy Knowles. We also have the unanimous vote by the Design Review Board, the unanimous vote by our Planning Commission to name the Gaston Livery Stable to the City of Aiken Historic Register and designate it a landmark property. At your first reading of this ordinance back on October 8, you unanimously approved this designation. And for council consideration tonight is a second reading and public hearing to designate the Gaston Livery Stable to the Aiken Historic Register as a historic site and a landmark property. Colleen Reed is again with us tonight, and she has comments for council this evening as well.
Okay. Members of council, Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, I am very pleased to bring before you this evening the Gaston Livery Stable and Barn for designation as a historic site and landmark in the City of Aiken. There are several members of the board here and several friends of the Gaston Livery Stable present this evening. Last time when I was here, I was asked some questions that I didn't have the answers at the tips of my fingers, so I would like to share that information with you this evening. We have received no taxpayer money for this project, and we have no intentions of asking for any. In-kind goods and services, so far we have received $79,200 from our very generous citizens. In volunteer hours, we have over 6,500 hours, which is over $200,000. For the money that we've spent, it's about $20,000, which is a 10-to-1 ratio. So for every dollar that is donated to us, $10 in goods and services are donated. So to me, that's just incredible, and it just goes to show the generosity of the citizens of Aiken. We're in the midst of a project known as the Barn Cats of Aiken, and we have sponsors who purchased the cats, artists who have painted the cats, and now the cats are getting ready to be placed in downtown businesses. So what we've been saying is the cats are going from the cat house, which happens to be Alan Riddick's home. They're going to be alley cats for 2 hours on November 3rd, and then they'll become store cats. And they'll be auctioned off, much as the horseplay horses were done, and that will be in March or April. The future for the Gaston Livery Stable, it is our plan to have a living history venue and to have an operational carriage lift in the facility. So thank you for your time and your consideration.
Colleen, do you have a picture of those cats anywhere?
I did not bring a cat with me this evening, but there is one available at the museum, and on, I believe it's the 24th, Gail Ebner's cat will be in the upstairs studio. I forget the address. It's on Lawrence Street, but it's the art studio upstairs, and you can peek in and see. They are incredible. They are so beautiful.
Very good. Thank you so much for what you all have done. Certainly, it's wonderful that you're able to do this without any taxpayer money. That's super. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved.
A second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Colleen. You and your whole team of people there. Under new business, first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 1734 Two Notch Road into the city limits. Aiken City Limits. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of .27 acres of land, more or less, owned by Mary Ellen Davis Thompson and located at 1734 Two Notch Road, and to zone the same residential single family RS-10. You have in your agenda packet a memorandum from Wilkins Bird, who chairs the Planning Commission. They have voted unanimously to recommend approval for the annexation. Ms. Thomas is the life tenant. The remainder man is Eric Thompson. They have both petitioned together that the property come into the city. This was brought on by the fact that the septic field for the house actually failed, and an emergency connection to our sanitary sewer was undertaken. As a condition of that, we do require an annexation request to be filed with our planning department, and that's what the Thompsons have done for council consideration tonight, is first reading of this ordinance to annex this property into the city limits and zone it residential single family RS-10.
Okay, sir, thank you. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
I move that we approve this on first reading, the ordinance to annex 1734 Two Notch Road into our city limits and zoning residential single family RS-10.
I second.
Okay, discussion? Any? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 2, first reading of an ordinance to amend the Comprehensive Land Use and Transportation Plan to incorporate the North Side Transportation Study. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the City of Aiken Comprehensive Land Use and Transportation Plan to incorporate the North Side Transportation Study. Council will recall that you met in July with the Planning Commission and developed a list of action items for them to work on this budget year. The first item on the agenda was this Northside Transportation Study. As you'll see in my memo that we included with the agenda packet, the conclusions of the study are that widening Edgefield Highway, South Carolina Highway 19, from 2 lanes to 4 lanes from Hampton Avenue to South Carolina 191, that's in the Eureka community, and also widening University Parkway, which is the 118 bypass, from 2 lanes to 4 lanes from SC 19 westward to Trolley Line Road, would be recommended to meet traffic needs as identified in the year 2035. In addition, the study addresses safety issues at various locations in the area, including the intersection of York and Rutland Drive, because of the crash rate that exceeds the rate for the state. The study is attached and included in the materials. Ed Evans is in the room. He served on the steering committee that worked with the consultant that developed this plan. And for council consideration tonight is first reading of an ordinance to amend our comprehensive land use and transportation plan to include this north side transportation study in its contents.
Okay, very good. Do we have a motion and a second for approval, and then we can get into discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I move approval of the north side transportation study plan, first reading.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion by council, and then we'll see if we have discussion.
One question. I was at the Planning Commission when this went through, and I'd ask the question, since we do all the transportation and the densities of potential business and everything, but we don't designate any public safety or I'll just use public safety, which would include fire stations or police stations. And evidently, this is, from Mr. Evans' comments in there, this is not part of what this plan does, but it seems rather odd if you're figuring out where all the density is going to be and putting in the roads, you would think that, you know, build the road and they'll come. And I don't know if that's a city requirement that that we do not do planning for that, or if that's a state requirement, you know, as we do these.
And Mr. Edgar, I could just tell you, based on the discussions we had with the 1 cent sales tax funds, typically a consultant of this type is not the person we look to as far as locating public safety or emergency stations. Particularly in fire suppression, we work with the ISO, because they have a certain distance between stations that they use in rating us. And, in fact, that proved very helpful because you'll recall we had some conversations about potentially having a second fire station on the north side. Well, once the ISO inspectors came to Aiken and traveled around, it now turns out that really it needs to be in the Citizens Park area. So that's a completely different area than what we were thinking. So well, I guess that's who we look to for that.
And I guess, you know, if you start looking at this, and if we look out Silver Bluff, I would have think, you know, when the planning went on out there, we knew we were going to need some fire protection and everything, and then we wind up paying a whole, you know, a high dollar for the property. So I don't know if we can do any better planning or not from that, or we just have to wait till they build it, so to speak.
We can certainly look into that. The good news about the fire station that we have in the next round of 1 cent sales tax money is that we believe we've located room on the Citizens Park site, so we won't have any land costs. We'll just have construction costs. So we'll look for those kind of opportunities, again, guided by ISO as far as the location of the station.
I'm all for this. It's just, it looks like to me that's a key link that's missing out there somewhere. But
and it's not necessarily in the plan. As far as public safety and law enforcement would go, we would look at CALEA certification standards and fire suppression. We would look at the ISO fire rating.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just to add to that comment, how early in the process can we look at that? I think Reggie's got a valid point. If the land, before the land is developed, it's certainly going to be a lot less expensive than it will be after we fully implement this plan.
And I think,
The only problem that I see with that, and I totally understand what you're saying, Councilman Dewar, but you know, even though you know we have a plan for infrastructure there, we don't necessarily know where those developments are going to be placed or what the intensity of those developments are. So if we go out and pick a spot before it builds up, we may have that station placed in the wrong. Strategically in the wrong place, and I certainly understand and appreciate the fact of wanting to save money on land, but if we build a station in a place that we think is going to develop, and then as fate would have it, the huge development is quite a ways away from that station, then we're going to have to build another one to accommodate that.
Well, it's a good point, and I guess my point is let's get to it as soon as we can.
Right.
Generally, I think the plan is outstanding. It has everything I expected to see in a north side development plan. It's got the infrastructure identified. It's got it prioritized. And while it's not time at all to be even thinking of capital sales project four, this is an excellent blueprint for a lot of the transportation projects. And some of these projects are less costly than others. And those we may be able to start accomplishing in the budget process once the economy improves and gets us back to where we used to be. But I think it's a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have one question. This is a city-county project, right? Has the county had an opportunity to be a part of this, and it's okay with the county as far as it's gone?
I'm not I'm not aware of any concerns that, I know our planning staff has been involved from the beginning. So as far as I know, they've been completely in the loop, and I'm not aware of any other concerns.
Good, I just, thank you, Clay. I just didn't know where that was with that.
I have a question, Mr. Mayor. When I look at this, this means, for example, and Clay, you may be able to help here, the widening to four lanes will take place on 191 headed south into Aiken on 19 all the way up to Lawrence Street. Is that right? And Hampton?
To Hampton.
Four lanes.
To Hampton, right.
To Hampton.
Right. We're talking about the property from, or the stretch of the bypass University Parkway from 19, at least beyond the development of our new building.
Okay.
And we've got plans to put in at least some turn lanes. We've talked to the DOT, and I don't think anybody believes the traffic count at this point. We've done a traffic study. I don't think anybody believes at this point it's going to require a signal there. But for safety of folks using, coming in and out of the building,
and that's four lanes.
We're talking about doing at least some turn lanes now, but
not four
lanes. We have money identified in sales tax three that's getting ready to begin collections that could do some joint work with the city. Richard and I've had several conversations about joint work in that area to improve traffic flow at least beyond the county complex, but that's part of what's in the Northside plan.
And the State Transportation Board, the Infrastructure Bank, has indicated there's at least a willingness to consider that next section. And we're doing the section between Silver Bluff and Highway 1 of the 118 bypass, but they're willing to look at plans for Highway 1 around Highway 19. Okay. Which was a part of our...
I guess I was looking at this recommended network additions and improvements, and what's in yellow is from 191 all the way into, on 19, Edgewood Highway all the way into Hampton Avenue.
That's right.
But the part I'm speaking specifically about...
I know, it's the University Parkway.
Right. And that goes all the way to Trolley Line Road, and again, that's looking to 2035.
Well, Bill Clyburn's been working on this since he was on council 25 years ago. So
that's right.
I don't think he may still be around by 2035.
In one form or another.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Thank you, Clay. Thank you. Okay, any other comments or questions? We've got a motion and a second. If not, a show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously on first reading. Item 3, a resolution regarding the request for water and sanitary sewer services for 1930 University Parkway owned by Aiken County. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the resolution is a resolution authorizing the provision of water and sanitary sewer utility services to property located at 1930 University Parkway. Aiken County currently has a construction water service through some hydrants in the area. They do have filed a request for water and sanitary sewer service. Council has had a long-standing policy that anytime a property is contiguous to the city limits, if a utility request is made, that be made as part of an annexation request. This request did go to the Planning Commission at their October 9, 2012 regular meeting. They split 3-3 on the vote on the request, and I think you've got a revised copy
right here of the
resolution that the city clerk put at everyone's space, and that has all the conditions in it that were part of the motion before the Planning Commission. And those are conditions 1-8. And I would just, instead of reading them word for word, I just put that in the record for council to consider. I've had some follow-up conversations with our county administrator, Clay Killian, and to address some of the concerns at the meeting, I think there may have been some confusion about the proposal for a planted landscape buffer between the residential area on Lincoln Avenue and the county complex site. Mr. Evans is here, and if you could come on down, Ed, we'll get that clarified and put that in the record. Another concern, I think, by the neighbors in the area was the proposal for the county to have access to Lincoln Avenue. And based on my conversations with Clay, it's my understanding that that would actually be gated and not used as a regular course of business, but just in the event of an emergency or some special need. In addition, We did talk about the traffic study, and Mr. Evans, if you could speak to that, because I think our on-call engineer, Roger Dyer, has some information on that that you shared with us, as well as the planting. The main thing about looking at this resolution that was at the desk for members of council, this condition 5 that's in this new version was not in your packet, and that's the signage on Lincoln Avenue be limited to a directional sign with a maximum area of 4 square feet and a maximum height of 3 feet. So for council consideration is this utility request.
Excuse me.
The other main conversation that I had with Clay Killian was the fact that they do intend to annex. They're just not prepared to annex at the present time, but would proceed with an annexation procedure after the first of the year. One thing, too, for council to bear in mind as you review the utility request is I've had a conversation with Mike Jordan, who's our building official for the city. Since the county has already commenced the construction of the project, and we've done this on other occasions, we did this for Town Creek Baptist Church and the AT&T building, Edwards Financial Building, that's on Whiskey Road. They started out in the county and later annexed, but the county actually inspected the entire process start to finish, and that's what would be done with the county governmental center. So, Ed, if you could just provide that supplemental information for council, that'd be great.
Just the buffer you're speaking of?
Buffer and then the Roger Dyer, right.
Condition number 3 refers to a 25-foot deep, densely planted evergreen buffer essentially along the southern boundary.
That's with the residential neighborhood on Lincoln Avenue.
Correct.
Okay.
And rightfully so, the county wanted to know more about what that really meant. And so I, last week, talked to the city horticulturist Tom Rapp about the type of buffer that might be appropriate. And the goal, again, is to create an evergreen screen or protection for those houses fronting on Lincoln Avenue. And in talking to Mr. Rapp, he suggested 2 rows of ligustrum, 10 to 15 feet apart, and the ligustrum would be planted 10 feet on center. Staggered, so over time, and 4 feet at planting, so over time that would grow into a pretty substantial, dense evergreen buffer.
When would they be planted?
Should be before occupancy. Now, we won't issue the CO, but...
Because, you know, we just went through that issue with... we are going through that issue with Chuckah Creek where, you know, yes, I'm going to plant the buffer, but I don't have to do it until the last minute. And that's different than the county because the county's in one building and you might have some issues, some control with the certificate of occupancy. But, you know, I mean, Chuckah Creek, we're waiting until the last minute to do the buffer. Meanwhile, in this particular case, the people at Lincoln have already seen all the trees cut. I'll go to my grave not knowing why somebody doesn't get down and consider the buffer from the get-go instead of cutting everything down and then looking at the buffer the next time. I don't know why they do that. Maybe you could address why they do that. I'm not an engineer, but it's important that the buffer be planted as early as possible so by the time that building is up, I could just imagine the horror that some of those folks on Lincoln are going through. You know, they used to have all woods, and now they're going to look at a building. So we should make every effort to get that buffer up and running before buildings built, for sure.
Is there some reason why we're limiting it to 4 feet, and will 4 feet and the double planting come with a fence as well? It's just the evergreen buffer is going to serve as enough of a protection. I'm just wondering whether people will use that as a gateway to go through these evergreens and be able to move back and forth from the highway area onto Lincoln Avenue.
My recommendation did not include a fence. It was just evergreen, a visual screen primarily. In our ordinance, the standard height for new shrubbery is 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
We went with something a little bit bigger, mainly because of the amount of clearing that's been done. But if the buffer had been untouched, and we only require a 10-foot untouched buffer, the shrubbery height would be 3 feet instead of 4. Now, this is a 50-foot
buffer. That's not much taller than I am.
Ed, do you consider the fact that some of the property on Lincoln is much higher than what the building is,
right,
and therefore would that require a higher shrub or tree or something? I mean, we're looking about line of sight. Is line of sight important from the people, from the residents at Lincoln Street?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, that's another reason for something a little taller.
So, I mean, could we change the wording of that ordinance so that line of sight would be a factor in whatever is required to be put in for the buffer?
I think Mr. Smith will tell you you can do whatever you would like to do.
Well, I think if you change the ordinance for line of sight here, we're going to get into developer rights, which we had a lot of discussion for several of these issues over line of sight and how far you can see and stuff. So how tall does a legustrum get?
The legustrum are all along Whiskey Road at Palmetto Golf Course, so they can get very tall.
I would assume since it's be a natural barrier, then also you won't maintain it. The other trees and weeds and stuff will grow? Or is this a maintained barrier?
Mr. Coakley is here. He can tell you about the maintenance we do on the legustrum.
No, I mean for this particular buffer. If it's supposed to be a natural buffer, then we'd let it grow back as natural, so it'll get 15, 20 feet tall, and those legustrums grow pretty rapidly.
Mr. Coakley can address that, Mr. Ebner. Tom Ratt works for Tim.
I don't think they were planning to maintain that buffer like we do along Whiskey Road. We do
right.
an incredible amount of maintenance on
right.
that stretch of Whiskey Road down there by Boardman. You know, they get 12 to 15 feet tall, and Tom picked 10-foot centers. Hopefully they'll be overlapped by the time they're mature. And we usually pick the smaller plants for survivability. He's boosted that up a little bit bigger. Just to get a head start on things.
So there's no way to give the neighbors any assurance that though a buffer may be planted, that buffer will continue to be there for their protection, with their privacy, with their property.
I don't know if you could require that in there or not.
Well, Mr. Smith can speak to that, but it's a condition of the allowing the use of the utilities, the water and sewer utilities.
But if there's no one maintaining it, you know, we had an issue coming for council a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago,
mm-hmm.
where the evergreen had disappeared in this area. And if no one is maintaining it, then it becomes barren again with no protection for the neighborhood.
Well, again, Mr. Smith can speak to that. That's
well, I think that's it, Ms. Price. That's at Chucker Creek and the mm-hmm. The developer rights of being and the contractor brought it up says he doesn't have to water to keep it up. He's planted them three times now and they died. So I think it's a very valid question. And my assumption is that the county would like their development to look very nice versus a housing developer. But it's typically they clear cut everything to the fence line too.
But let me just say that this community has been faced with some things with council. We placed a housing subdivision right off of Highway 19 for them. How many years ago? I don't know who can remember. 7, 8 years ago? And supposedly that was going to be managed by a private company, not Section 8 housing. It is Section 8 housing now. We told them there would be a fence there. There's no fence there. So it causes the community not to trust what we approve here. We expect the people to go out and do what we approve, and it's not done. So it's left with a lot of trust with the actions that we expect to get out of the council here, but it's not taken at all. And if anyone wants to speak to that, but I've heard that from the community.
Okay, we have not gotten that reported. I'd be glad to get the report, and we'd be glad to look into that if that's what the cause was with that development. We're always glad to follow up.
Mayor, I know we're talking about the buffer, but one of the concerns I have, I went out there, it's not so much what's buffering them from the future county center. If Lincoln gets completed, I assume eventually it's going to get paved all the way. There's going to be a tremendous amount of traffic on Lincoln, which will be just as detrimental to that neighborhood as not putting a buffer in between there. Will Lincoln be totally completed or not?
the gate's only going to be an emergency-only gate, Steve. So
well, yeah, access. I agree, the gate, but that's the Lincoln, and then you turn off after the last house. I assume you go in that little neck of land.
How would Lincoln affect access to the county site if you can't use the gate? The gate's only emergency.
If you build it up to the gate, eventually, and put a crash gate or whatever you want to call it there, if they pave it that far, if they pave it completely all across, if you look at trying to go from Vaucluse to Lawrence, it'll be a, right now it's a dirt road.
Yes, a portion
of
it's dirt, yeah.
To a certain degree, and then if you complete it, you're going to have people on Lincoln just kind of shaking their heads.
Oh, you mean people using it as a shortcut?
It's going to be a shortcut,
okay,
definitely.
Yeah, okay, all right, okay.
I don't know what the plan is for, to pave Lincoln or not.
My understanding that's in the county. I don't know that there is a plan to pave. And you may want to hear from the folks from the county to address these concerns.
Yes, we are.
In their presentation.
Yeah.
But I agree with Dick, and I don't usually do that very
put
often.
Put that in the record. Highlight that in the record, please.
But I think that buffer should be built long before construction is completed, because you've taken away the privacy of all these residents, and they're not used to not having that buffer behind them and the trees behind them to block out the what's behind them. And now here it is, the open highway and all this construction going on, and I can imagine it's probably pretty aggravating.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from the applicant first before we start hearing from the neighbors and what have you, so that we all understand what's planned.
Might I ask one question ahead of that, Mr. Mayor?
I'm sorry.
The item is called a resolution regarding the request, and I think some of our comments are treating it as if it's a planned center where we have total control. Now, do we have total control, or are we just being asked tonight to consider the water, the utilities?
Mr. Smith can speak to that.
What you're doing is you're entering into a contractual agreement with the county if you decide to do so.
Okay.
Whereby the city agrees to provide water and sewer services to a user outside the city limits.
Okay.
In return for your agreeing to do that, council has the right to require certain things to happen in exchange for your agreement to provide them with that
water.
Right. And so it is similar to a planned commercial project where you approve a concept plan. You can impose the same types of requirements that you would on a planned commercial plan.
Okay, thank you.
County's alternative is, are we willing to accept those conditions in return for getting water from you? And, that's the negotiation that takes place.
Just give us your name. That's all we need for the record.
Meeting Mayor, City Council. My name is KJ Jacobs. I'm an architect with McMillan Pazin Smith, and we've been engaged to design the new county government center. I will try to be brief in my remarks. Please understand that this is a large, complicated project, and there are quite a few issues that we'd like to hit. So my tactic will be to be brief, but to hit each of these, and then I'll be happy, and Clay will be happy to stand up and answer any questions that y'all might have. Excuse me. I'm going to speak. I have in my hand a copy of the Planning Commission's memo to the city that's dated October 12th. I'm assuming that y'all also have a copy of that.
That has been provided.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, if I may, is starting on page 4, at the bottom of page 4, there's a called Possible Conditions of Approval Suggested by Staff. Now, this is the Planning Commission's their suggestion going into the Planning Commission meeting where that motion ultimately failed. So I am going to start from the Planning Commission's recommendation, since there was no action taken at the Planning Commission level. Those items are numbered 1 through 8. Is everybody clear where I am? I'm just going to follow these through.
It's page 151 of your agenda packet.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. But before addressing those, I did want to hit one thing that was in the original application for city services that isn't in any of, I don't believe in any of this documentation. One of the things that we've asked for is a variance from the city building codes and sprinkler ordinance. just want to be clear what we're doing there. And y'all talked about it a few minutes ago. Really, that issue is related to the county staff, the county building officials, and the county inspectors being the ones reviewing, permitting, and inspecting, and ultimately issuing the final certificate of occupancy for the project. This building, like every building we design, is required to comply with the International Building Code. This building is not designed to any different standards in the county than if it were built in the city. From a life safety perspective, from a fire protection standpoint, the building is fully sprinkled. So I did just want to make sure everyone understood that one.
Can you explain why you need that variance?
Like the other projects that were referenced, this project was begun as a county parcel and has been undergone extensive review and permitting through the county. There are several permits that have already been pulled and others yet to be pulled. And I think the trying to transition that to the city's staff would not be very favorable for most people involved.
You've only got a portion of one wall that's up. I mean, is that...
Yes, sir. We've done a tremendous amount of work leading up to that one wall. We've got three permits that have already been pulled and are waiting on the building permit. So there's a very complex history. We've been talking about this building, as you all know, for a very long time. So the county building officials have been side by side with us in those conversations, and it'd be quite a feat for us to back up and try to bring the city up to speed.
And if I may, Mr. Jacobs, that goes to my initial remarks, Mr. DeWar, that the building official for the city would prefer that the county go ahead and proceed with all inspections. That's what we did with Town Creek Baptist Church and the AT&T building on Whiskey Road.
Well, I understand. I guess my question's relating to other projects that might be built in the city. I mean, is there, and maybe it's a...
Well,
are we more stringent in interpreting the international codes than you are?
It's all the same code.
Yeah, had this project been developed in the city, we wouldn't be here talking about a city utility services agreement, so the request for that variance never would have come up.
In other words, there's no difference in the protection provided, right?
You're correct.
Okay.
What I don't understand is that this has been a long time coming here. And all along, the county has known they're going to be here, and they're going to need the water and the sewer. I always have a problem when we start deviating from our policies or our ordinances and then don't know why. I've asked the question several times. Why can you not do it now, but you can wait 2 months, roughly, and then come into the city? If we consider, I think what I heard, that you'd be willing to annex in January, that may be the end of January, so that may make 3 months. But why wait?
Well, to go to Mr. Smith's comments earlier, I think there are some discussions that we need to have. I think if we can go ahead and get the services in place and just determine what those conditions are of each side of the contractual arrangement, I think a couple of months will give us an opportunity to do that. I think the fact that it's being built out in the county, we think there is some exclusions that should be provided because we are a county and not a commercial entity. But we're going to be here. We're going to do things the way it needs to be done.
Yeah,
and we're just looking to...
I understand that, but this is nothing new. I've had transactions with the city, county before, and all of a sudden, the place gets clear-cut, and the building and everything gets started, and then it's like, oh my goodness, we've got to have water and sewer, so let's go to the city, and after the fact, almost. What bothers me, too, is what happens when the next building goes up, right next to this one, or whatever it is that goes up there. Here we go again. Are they going to want, they're going to say, well, golly, you guys did this for the county. Now you're saying, can't do it for you. I think it's a bad thing to get started. These other two places, I think, that Richard mentioned, I don't know what the cause was that we delayed annexation on those, but it's not the policy, and I don't think we want to get into something that just keeps building and building, and pretty soon we don't have a policy. I want to know why you wouldn't want the city to follow, to be, have their policy followed?
Well, I think Mr. Jacobs alluded to it. For the longest time, we thought we were going to be building inside the city, and we wouldn't be doing anything but complying with the city's ordinances.
But at some point, it changed.
It did.
And then, therefore, it makes you want to look and see, okay, now what are the policies? We're not going to be building in the city. We're going to be building in the county. We're going to need water and sewer. But now we have to, you're asking us to wait for 3 months before you annex, and I still have the same question.
Well, if we can come to some understanding of some of the things that Mr. Jacobs has talked about and is getting ready to talk about, I think we can do that. As long as we understand what that is, we just don't need to delay what we're trying to do right now. The building has been discussed for a long, long time, as KJ talked about. And we now have it under construction, but it wasn't. There's not any intent to violate anybody's ordinances. It's just the fact that we're out in the county. And we're a county organization, a public entity, and we're going to make sure that those folks are taken care of on Lincoln Avenue. The clear cutting was done because the slope that we have to get to on that property back there, there's a drop. We're going to have to do some grading to level that out. We intend to do plenty of buffering for those folks. It may not be to the city standards, but it's going to be far beyond what the county normally requires of other folks out in the county. We've already decided we're going to do that. We know that we're close to those folks, and we know that we are creating a nuisance for them right now. We understand that. But we're going to try to do everything we can to fix that as quickly as we can, long before the CO.
Okay, what do we tell the next person that builds next to you out there?
Well, we own the next 50 acres, so
okay.
If anybody builds, it's probably going to be us.
Well, let's go on down there. We all know there's going to be a lot of building on that road still.
Let me ask you.
Mr. Mayor, I think this is a different subject because I hear from folks constantly that they would rather work with folks that are in the county than the city because our rules are much more stringent than what the county has. That's a fact. You can talk to any developer who wants to develop, and they will tell you about the hoops that they contend they have got to go through to get a development to take place.
I haven't heard that lately.
I've had three people in my office within the last 3 weeks, and you'll hear from them because I sent them to you.
That's one of the concerns. That's one of the concerns.
I haven't heard from them yet. Go ahead.
At the end of the day, are you saying that you are going to build under the county ordinances, but ultimately, by the time you annex to the city, which will be sometime early next year, you're going to meet the buffering requirements that the city requires and all the other requirements that the city requires?
Well, we'd like to have an opportunity to work through what those requirements are. I think one of the issues that we're concerned about, to follow up with Ms. Price's comment, is knowing everything we need to do up front so we can get it built into the budget and planned instead of part of it now, part of it later, part of it later. As long as we know everything that's going to have to be done, we can plan for that and budget for that and be done with it. We think a couple of months to work through that before we actually annex, and whatever those conditions are of that annexation, we can come to an agreement that makes sense for everybody.
Okay.
Right now, I don't think we completely know everything because we're still trying to clarify what that buffer means, what the full cost of that's going to be. I know KJ is working through that with Mr. Evans and his staff. I think if we can work through that over the next few months, we'll come to a point that this won't be that big of an issue.
Well, the question I have then is with our planning director working with them, when are they going to be able to arrive at a congruent plan, one you agree with and then one the city agrees with? And after that's done, basically, we can proceed with the annexation. I don't understand what the argument is.
Well,
reasoning on this.
The argument, and really it's not fair to involve the county in the argument, but the argument is
right.
That we seem to have two standards.
Right.
And if we do have two standards, I'd like to know about it. I'd like to know what the standards are because, our business community is very upset in trying to deal with us as a city.
Right.
And quite frankly, and it doesn't relate to the county, unfortunately, you're here and it's a good excuse to bring it up.
It's a different.
If, in fact, we have some standards that are a problem to developers that want to come into the city or a problem to our business people, then I think it's our job as a council to identify it and deal with it and resolve it.
I agree, Dick, but basically, we represent the city.
Yes.
It's not an ordinance. It's basically a policy of the council. The council can change its mind anytime it wants to. Eventually, it's going to be annexed into the city. I think that's ultimately everybody's goal. So, you know, 3 months to me is really not that critical. I just want to make sure at the end of the day, you know, the people on Lincoln are going to be happy, we're going to be happy, the county's going to be happy, and everybody, you know, there's not going to be a business about building or putting evergreens and then not watering them, letting them die, and so forth like we have some other places.
Well, I have no concern that the county will put up a building that will meet the applicable standards and
right.
do a good job of it.
They don't, we'll tear it down for them.
Hmm?
I said, if they don't, we'll tear it down.
But I still think that, and again, it doesn't involve primarily them, but we need to look at this issue, and maybe it needs to be an agenda item for a different meeting, but we certainly need to look at it.
I agree, but it's up to the discretion of the council, and that's why we're sitting here having this discussion. To me, 2 or 3 months or even 4 months, whatever it happens to be, doesn't make that much a difference. I mean, it goes before you know it.
What happens next time we have 2 or 3 businesses come in?
I think it's the discretion of the council. You know, we
okay.
don't.
So we change that line back and
just
forth.
Just because we set a precedent one time doesn't mean we have to fold each time.
It's called fairness.
And again, this is a utility request. We work through with Fresh Market, and we work through Academy Sports and Outdoors with their proposed development. They were very complimentary of their experience with planning. So as far as the other folks you're talking about, I've not had those calls in my office. I have had the calls from the developers, and they found that planning worked with them very well. If folks have concerns, they can certainly contact me, and I'll be glad to take a look at that. To answer the question from council, Mr. Evans has provided a detailed listing of an explanation of what Planning Commission voted on at their meeting on October 9, but it didn't pass. And again, they're a recommending body. Mr. Smith can correct me, but my understanding with the utility request is you can condition the provision of the utilities on the annexation, on meeting those conditions that Planning Commission proposed. And that the way you enforce that is the utilities will be provided so long as those conditions are met. So that's why it's before you today, and with the understanding tonight that the annexation request would come in after the first of the year. You know, if that is not reached, then the provision of the utilities would cease.
I doubt that you can shut the water off if that's not reached, and I'm sure that what the county says will be reached. I still have the major big problem. Why? And I haven't heard that answer to that question.
I think the issue is that we're still working through some of the fact that we're out in the county and that we are the county government and we're going to build something nice. I think the goal is to work to a condition that both sides can agree to for the provision of the service.
We can both agree to follow our policy.
Well, how about a date certain for the annexation request? Would that be any better?
I mean, this is such a small thing to be even talking about, but yet I think it's a major thing. Sure, the city has tight policies, tighter than the county, if that's the way it is, you say so. We are a unique city as well. We've grew 16.5% over the last 10 years. We're not stagnant by any means. And if people want to build outside, then okay, build outside. We have an awful lot of building going on inside, though. And everybody knows what that building is. So I don't buy that situation that they have a hard time with planning. I think planning is doing their job. They've got their policies. They look at those policies. They try to keep those policies in line, intact. And I'm proud of that Planning Commission. I'm proud of all of our departments.
Well, I will organize a meeting, bring these folks here, and let them share openly what if they're not. They're afraid, Mr. Mayor. I can tell you that they are afraid.
They're afraid of what?
I don't want to air that here, but they're afraid.
Okay, well, you meet with Mr. Evans then and try to work that out. Well, I don't need to be a part of that. I haven't heard that, but this is something else.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
It's a different subject.
If I may, I can tell you our experience has been very good, too. We've just been trying to work through some details that we have some disagreement with. It's not a disagreeable disagreement. Mr. Pierce and I worked very closely on it. Mr. Morris and his staff have gotten us water when we needed it. We've got construction water going right now. We're working with Mr. Evans and his staff. The relationship is very positive. So from our perspective, that's not an issue. I can't speak personally.
Right. You're not where I am.
Yeah, but
I just want to make that clear from the county's perspective.
I know it's not an issue, and we'll stop this in a second. It's not an issue with the county. It's an issue with us. It's an issue with me. We don't abide by our policy. Now, if that was some better reason, and you really haven't given us the answer to why, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, again, the fact that we're out in the county, and I know we're trying to get services from you, but we're out in the county, we want to negotiate some of those conditions. And that's all we're trying to get to. And until we get to that annex point, which
you can negotiate them by annexing in. Are you afraid that we won't negotiate with you if you go ahead and annex in?
No, sir, but your policy requires us to do certain things in anticipation of annexation. We would like to talk about a few of those things before we annex.
A policy, as I understand it, requires that if you want utilities, you have to agree to annex.
If you're contiguous.
Okay. Yeah, and you are, I guess, so you would need to annex. And I guess annexation at this stage, what I hear you saying, would pose problems because, by definition, our planning department would take over some control, or control over some parts of your construction, and you would rather retain your own control over that construction.
Mr. Jacobs alluded to, we've been working with the International Code Congress in Birmingham to review all of our plans, and they've been involved in that from the beginning. Mr. Jordan has not been. I think we've answered that question. I think if we can continue to do that, that solves one of the big issues.
That goes back to the crux of what I started earlier, and that is my, and I'm not a technician, but my control is I'd like to think that whatever the city requires, you would require.
It is the same
because
code.
It's
absolutely
international codes, and right, there shouldn't be any difference. But I'm sort of sensing, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm sort of sensing that we interpret some parts of that code, that international code, either more stringently or differently than the county would. And my only point is, if we are, I'd just as soon get on the same page. And if that requires more city, county council meeting to discuss or resolve, then I'm all for it.
I think it's all due respect to Mr. Smith. Any law or ordinance that are out there, you can get 10 people to interpret it 15 different ways.
Yeah.
That's why there's so many lawyers, Mr. Kagan.
I did not suggest that. So I'm not suggesting that our interpretation is correct versus Mr. Jordan's is not. The point is that we've gotten so much planning done in a 135,000 square foot building.
Yeah, I'm not worried about right or
wrong.
At this
point, trying to get up to speed, we just don't want to create any further delays.
I'm not worried about right or wrong, but I'm with Councilwoman Price in terms of you're doing what you're doing. Because of some issues with the city, and I translate that to other people that would deal with the city, and I want to make sure that if, and again, not part of your issue, but if there are issues, right, that we need to be working on, that we should do it. It sounds like maybe there are.
I've got a question. If, in fact, the council insisted our way or the highway, you know, just you have to annex immediately, would that have fiscal impacts on the construction and so forth, or would it be a time delay transitioning to a different, a guiding shop or whatever you call it?
Honestly, I don't fully appreciate the implications from a construction standpoint of what it would mean. We're holding a county building permit. Theoretically, the building inspectors would come out tomorrow morning and shut us down.
Yeah. And again, Mr. Homoke, they would not. I just want to clear the record up on
sure.
that. Mike Jordan is not going to shut down a project. It's already commenced. The practice in the past on other projects is that the county would continue to inspect that project since it was
as
already commenced.
As far as budget implications for the landscaping, there may be, if we had to meet the city code, there probably would be a budget impact. I don't know what that would be.
I think Mr. Evans estimated, based on Mr. Rapp's recommendation, it was about a $5,000 cost.
Are you saying you won't be able to meet the city standards on landscaping?
We're suggesting that perhaps we don't need to meet the city standards. We're going to exceed the county standards. But if that becomes a condition of whatever we come to a contractual arrangement, we'll have to figure out a way to do that.
How about the trees? There was something about the trees planted so close or far apart.
Now might be the right time to jump back into the specifics. I'm happy to go
sure.
through this.
Sure, go ahead. Thank you.
I think one thing on this landscaping, it only affects three lots. I don't know if that's 300 feet or 3 miles, but it specifically says, there's only two lots that it affects on the landscaping.
I'll get to that. If you,
all right, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I'll spend a few more minutes on the buffer issue. Again, under that possible conditions of approval suggested by staff, again, just to be clear, Planning Commission did not take action, so the only document that we've got to go by, rather than the failed motion, is the Planning Department's recommendation, which is extremely close to the motion that failed. The first one, the annexation agreement, I think we can discuss that one later. We've hit that. Item number two, the city engineer approved the design and installation of the water service. As Mr. Killian alluded to, those conversations have already been going on in anticipation of gaining access to the city's water. We certainly are more than willing to comply with that and are already down the road to doing so. Number three, the landscaping requirement. There are three items in this, A, B, and C. Let me jump to B and C first. That B is that live oak trees along the street be moved at least 40 feet from overhead power lines. We're perfectly happy to comply with that. Item C, that all new power lines be located underground to avoid conflict with trees. That was already planned, and we're happy to comply with that. Backing up to item A, Mr. Evans did clarify, we asked at the Planning Commission meeting, and he did provide clarification on that buffer. We now understand that buffer requirement as would currently be proposed. So if you were to adopt this with that condition, we would ask that it be read as Mr. Evans had stated prior to this. I do want to state, though, that we believe that this is a county piece of property. It's a suburban, and not even really a suburban, it's truly a rural piece of property. We understand where the city limit line is drawn. We understand and appreciate all of those issues that go with it. We appreciate the need for city water and sewer. However, this is a rural parcel. We believe and have designed the building and the site to comply with the county's landscape ordinance, which includes buffer yards. Well, we believe as professional designers that meeting that buffer yard requirement and the county standards should be adequate for this site. Mr. Mayor, one of the questions you asked is what's different about this? What do we tell the next people? What's different in our minds is that this is a standalone one-off agreement like an incentive negotiation might be, where the particularities of each case are taken and a determination is made. The city's landscaping requirements, Mr. Killian's correct, the building code, sprinkler, fire protection, all of that is a consistent body of rules that's applied universally in the United States. The landscape ordinance is written for the city of Aiken. The city of Aiken is a beautiful place that I spend the night every time I come stay here. But this parcel is not in the city of Aiken. And when I say that, I'm referring to the appearance and what everyone loves about downtown Aiken. And to design, we believe that designing this 20-acre site to urban city of Aiken standards isn't appropriate for this condition. You're certainly more than welcome to pass any condition that you want upon this, but we believe as designers that we're designing a first-class facility that the county and the city can be proud of. We do have a couple of adjacent neighbors on Lincoln Avenue that we'll talk about. The buffer yard requirement, I want to point out that a buffer is just what it says. It's designed to be a buffer. The intention of that is to mitigate where two disparate uses come together. Nowhere in any landscape or planning ordinance that I've ever read is there any kind of verbiage that says complete screen, total privacy, or any of those things that conversation quickly goes to. Things like line of sight, those are areas that I don't think any of us want to wade into. The implications of that, some of the citizens that are here are fortunate to be on the high ground in a beautiful piece of property. To try to protect their view shed, I don't think is legally defensible, and certainly we don't know of any precedent to do that. The timing of that buffer, the fence, I do want to clarify, there is no fence in the city's ordinance. There's no fence in the county's ordinance for their buffer yards. We have no interest or intention of doing that. We believe that the buffers that we're going to provide and have designed, if you look at the landscape plan, the two pieces of property that are most affected, that where the houses are so close to that property line, we actually have designed a heavier buffer there, and are doing our best to be good neighbors to those folks.
And I think, Mr. Jacobs, you just hit on the key words. It's important to have good neighbors, and certainly, even though you're saying that it is not a legally defensible reason to do some of the things, having your neighbors feel good about a building that's so close makes a world difference. And it helps to instill pride in the neighborhood as well. So I think
we understand that completely, and we hope that all the neighbors will be thrilled with this property. In developing 20 acres and 135,000 square feet, it unfortunately has never been our mission to try to make everyone 100% satisfied every time. We know that we're not going to do that. As far as the timing of the landscaping, the completion date, the landscaping will not necessarily go in at the last minute when we go to achieve our certificate of occupancy. We'll time, this is a long project, and we will time the installation of that landscape to align with growing season. So it'll likely occur many months before substantial completion. In other words, the site will basically look finished months before the building will. I don't know of any landscape ordinance or planning ordinance that dictates timing on that as far as having that landscaping go in immediately. I just don't know of any. The item number four, the freestanding signage on University Parkway be limited to one monument sign at each entrance with a maximum of 60 square feet and a maximum height of 8 feet. The monument sign that we've designed is actually a single monument that complies with the total square footage of the sign. So we would just like to amend that slightly so that the sign that we've designed in particular does meet that ordinance. It certainly meets the spirit of it. And is technically in compliance. At any staff review, that would certainly meet the intention. So I might suggest that one be handled at a staff review, but we're certainly willing to comply with the spirit of that requirement. Item number five is also related to signage on Lincoln Avenue. Again, we're certainly willing to comply with that and would expect staff to review the final design. The number six, Lincoln Avenue driveway be gated and used only for emergency access. I think Mr. Killian has alluded to the fact that the county is willing to, there is a gate planned and is willing to keep that locked if the city finds that to be troublesome. Number seven, that site lighting be designed to city standards. We did design the site lighting for city standards. I do want to point out one piece of that sentence that we would like removed if you do adopt that that condition. The sentence reads that site lighting be designed so that it does not spill over into the adjacent property and that it complies with the city's lighting standards. We would ask that you remove so that it does not spill over into the adjacent property and just read that the site lighting should be designed to comply to city lighting standards. The city lighting standard is not a complete no light trespass. There is a small foot candle threshold that's allowed to cross the property line, and we're simply asking that we comply with the city's ordinance on that. That wording reads to be more could be interpreted to be more stringent than the city's ordinance.
How you can control the lighting then, if we take that part out?
Because we're going to meet the city standards.
Okay.
You have a city lighting ordinance that we have designed the building to, and it will comply with.
Okay.
I think that was just an inadvertent verbiage that made it more onerous. Finally, number eight, and I know everyone's favorite, is the traffic study. There are, and I don't know that you have these at hand, but there were five. There was an initial traffic study. The city reviewed that traffic study, asked for some revisions to it. We revised the traffic study, and there were five additional comments that came out of the revised traffic study report that Mr. Dyer generated. I don't know where this is in your packet, if it is, but I'll read them. And we can find them later if we need to. But the planning staff's recommendation is that all five of these items be addressed as one of the conditions or as five conditions to the agreement. The first is to provide an addendum addressing the segmental level of service analysis provided on page 2 of the memo. We said this at the Planning Commission meeting, and to my knowledge, we haven't received, and I apologize if we did, we haven't received clarification. We don't understand that comment, and so we don't know if we're going to comply or not because we don't understand it. So we just asked for clarification on that. We don't think it's a major item, but the second, further discussion and information regarding the intended use of Lincoln Avenue. I think that item's covered in the other bullet points that we've discussed. Item number three says to lengthen the throat of the main exit to allow 150 feet of stacking. I'm happy to walk through this on the site plan. It's a minor tweak to the site plan that we don't feel is necessary, and it's something that occurs on our property, not out affecting traffic. So we don't think we should have to revise our site plan to accommodate that, but I'm happy to walk through that if y'all would like. The fourth item, allow for the installation of underground conduit under the main site entrance for future signal cable. We are complying with that. And then finally, allow space for future installation of traffic signal poles and guy wires on both corners of the main site entrance. We are complying with that. And just to clarify, I think everyone understands there is not a traffic signal plan for this. The traffic study did not warrant a signal. Thank you. Sorry for the length.
That's okay. And Mr. Evans can address these traffic study issues that you brought up, Mr. Jacobs.
I talked to Roger today just to be sure I understood what his thoughts were. And as far as the segmental level of service comment, the study did level of service analysis for intersections and turning movements, but did not do a level of service analysis for road segments. Roger did that analysis himself, and it's fine. And so nothing else needs to be done to the study. What Roger did will suffice for that segmental level of service. Mitigation, Roger said that the mitigation call for in the traffic study should be done, and that mitigation is right turn deceleration lanes into each access point, that's eastbound, left turn lanes for both driveways, that's of course westbound. The study also called for a right turn lane on University Parkway, or actually Rutland Drive, at Lawrence Street, and Roger doesn't think that a right turn lane on Rutland at Lawrence Street, that'd be going northbound. He doesn't think that's necessary. That could be handled with changes to the traffic signal. He said that a signal study to study the whether a signal at the main entrance to the complex should be initiated as soon as the complex opens. And again, just that we receive a signed and sealed copy of the study. So if things are done, Roger is fine.
So what's the acceptable stacking distance that you want to see?
I'm not sure. I'd have to defer to Roger on that. I don't know.
But the 150 is too long, you're saying?
Oh, you're talking about, okay, that comment has to do with the on-site within the complex.
Oh, I thought it was on University to access the complex.
Right. Roger would still like, he thinks it'd be good if that's addressed. I think it's really kind of beyond the scope of our traffic. It's on site rather than being in the right of way.
Are there any planned road improvements near the site to get these turning lanes and so forth to access the site, or is it going to be as it is right now?
No, so we have planned on doing at least those turn lanes that Mr. Dyer mentioned in his study. We may want to expand that, though, because of the sales tax 3 getting ready to start, to look at going ahead and doing whatever improvements need to be done from 19 or Lawrence Street, at least beyond the complex, whatever widening is perhaps prepared.
Now, that's not part of that road that for the money that we received last year, is it, Richard?
It is not. It is not. That would be a future application to the infrastructure bank. The project that we have is from Silver Bluff Road to number 1. It's the south side of Acre.
Okay.
But the scope of the entire application to the SIB did include that section. But that would take another application.
Yeah. Now, how many people will be going to work every day?
There's about 200 employees that will be working in the facility.
So you could assume 200 automobiles, 200 trips, and you have to guess, I guess, 50-50 south and north?
I don't think you want either one of us interpreting the traffic study. These are professionals that bless them, count cars for a living. It's a lot more complicated and a lot more sophisticated than
I understand.
They do not, to answer your question, they do not split it 50-50 and say there's 100 trips this way and 100 trips that way.
I just asked a question because if you told me there were going to be 800, then I would tell you I want to I want a stacking lane outside.
Right.
But, you know, for 200, I think, you know, that, well, and does everybody come to work at the same time, or do you stagger?
No, sir, it's, we pretty much have the same office hours. It's usually an 8 to 5 kind of operation. And we're,
but if you found that you needed to stagger 15, 30 minutes and so forth because of traffic issues, I'm sure you would?
I think the one time you're going to have a couple of days a month where stacking is going to be an issue on the property, and that's for those folks coming to pay property taxes on their vehicles the last day of the month to get the their tags. That's when we have the biggest traffic. There's 400, how many spaces? 410? About 400 parking spaces on the site. And there's only going to be a couple of days of the month when that'll be used. Now, when court's going on, when the magistrate's court's got a jury trial, she may have a number of cars in that parking lot. But we don't believe that the additional stacking is going to be necessary on 95% of the days.
Will you have a drive-up window for
we will.
The... yeah, okay.
We will.
But I guess I'm curious why stacking up on the, if I'll use the word county property versus private property, wouldn't that be an issue that the county would have to handle in the future if it was an issue?
I think if we felt like we had a customer service issue and people were waiting a long time to get off the property, we'd have to look at that. We'd certainly look at that. And I think we would probably design, I'm getting over, Cage is going to stop me when I start talking traffic engineering here. When we look at the turn lanes in and out of the property, we might want to look at how we get double lanes off at some point down the road.
Yeah, I can see that, but, you know.
But the study doesn't warrant that at this point.
Okay. I was wondering, curious to why we're designing a traffic study on the site. That should be like the Holiday Inn does. They, you know, they line up in a line and make a right turn and left turn.
Would you have any heartburn with a crash-proof gate onto Lincoln instead of a gate with a lock and key? And it's only for emergency use.
A crash through, is that what you call it?
Yes.
No, the main goal of having that extra access is if, God forbid, we have something happen on University, that we need to get people off that property.
Yeah.
And can't go out the University way. We just need to have that as a way to get out if we need to. So whatever works there, we'd be fine with.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions right now? Comments?
Yeah, citizen right. Wants to
let's speak. Hear from our citizens now.
Thank you all very much.
Yes, sir.
My name is Elandis Mays, and it mostly affects me for saying the buffer because my house is directly in line with the building. First of all, let me say that Mr. Killian has been working diligently with me because I'm over the property line. Didn't know that, but I'm over it. A foot and a half and 3 feet, so one corner of my building. But my main concern, are they going to put a buffer? Yes or no? Okay, that's good. Thank you. All right, next question. How are they going to control the foot traffic? You know, you're going to have foot traffic. You ain't got no fence up in the back.
Mm-hmm.
People going to see that you're going to have, then I can shoot that straight across there. I ain't got to go all the way around the road. Coming in through other people's yard.
Now, Mr. Killian can't necessarily control where people walk.
Right.
But we have public safety officers who can.
Hey,
if somebody's trespassing on your property, that is against the law, and Chief will take care of that for you.
Okay. So they can walk on county property and be all right if they go around by the road, by the cash.
County property, by definition, is public property.
Oh.
The property where the county site will be located is, by definition, public property. Anybody can walk on public property. But they're not allowed to walk across your land to get to Lincoln Avenue to walk to wherever it is they want to go.
Okay.
That would be trespassing, and you would be entitled to the police.
All right. The next is you all. They said that the buffer is going to be put up. It's going to be high enough that so they're going to stagger it. All right. You said there's no certain amount of time that it'll be finished. Which, you know, it's all right with me, as long as it don't take 2 years, as long as they don't forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
because this has happened. You know.
The city, I don't think the city would let them forget about it. I kind of get the feeling you won't let them forget about it either.
Mr. Mays, Mays was the one that mentioned to me about the fence that right. with the property on Lincoln Avenue that was supposed to have been installed and never was installed. So that we approved for that development.
And Mr. Evans has made note of that. We'll be discussing that tomorrow.
All right. I lost my thought right there. But anyhow, as some of the members on Callahan Terrace and Lincoln Avenue, there's just a few of us here, but we look at the situation, you know, if we had known in advance that we could have probably purchased some of the land to keep from taking all the scenery down, the trees and the privacy. Like I say, I don't have any privacy in mine. Mrs. Moody down on the far end don't have any because the road is going to be directly beside her house almost. Mrs. English don't have much, and Mrs. Oliver and Mrs. Dobbs don't have much. But if we're going to do something, or if there's something going to be built, you know, it's I don't see nothing wrong with being courtesy to ask the members of that neighborhood, you know, do y'all want to do something or buy some land or anything to help out so that you won't have to be going through all this trouble about putting up a buffer. See, if some of the woods had been left, you wouldn't have to go through all this problem. Even though it might not have been much, it might have been 10 feet or 20 feet. It will cover up most of that building because, see, when they come down, they clean up everything. And this is what, you know, I see, you know, it was kind of slap in the face to the people in the neighborhood because when we found out anything about it, they was breaking, turning dirt, and bulldozers coming up. But right now, you know, it's done. There's nothing we can do about it because y'all not going to stop no building, and I'm not looking for y'all to stop no building. I'm going to be a good citizen, good taxpayer, and I'll keep on continuing to do what I'm doing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Who else would like to speak?
No. Don Wade. I'm going to bounce around a little bit on you. I've got a couple of comments. I'm going to be highly opposed if the council grants the county a variance that they haven't allowed for other citizens and taxpayers and developers. Also, Mr. Mayor, you asked the question, why did they start this project without coming to the city? You know, I've got that same question. Why did the city not go to them? The city knew that this was going on. And so, you know, it seems to me that the county and the city are always fighting each other. One doesn't want to talk to the other one or the other. Maybe I'm perceiving that wrong, but y'all still had the opportunity to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely we did.
Ed Dwore, you asked about the codes and the state codes and the United States codes on that. A lot of this with the planning and zoning, I'm going to answer two questions in that. It's not dealing with the staff in planning and zoning or Larry Morse's staff. It's dealing with the council's previous or current regulations that you're imposing on us mm-hmm. to make a development that it's not a matter of that we disagree with you. It's a matter that we can't physically, financially pay for those costs sometimes.
Right.
And I can't remember what this gentleman's name was, but he made a good point of something that I had never thought about. Is maybe the county needs to address these water and sewer is that we've got this pristine Aiken district and these outer skirts areas that we allow for more laxation. I think the county ought to be able to get the city's water and sewer. I think they need it. I think the city ought to give it to them. But it all comes back to one big thing, if the county said, and the county government probably could do this, but if the county said,
I want to drill a well. DHEC says you got available water. So you have to do a feasibility study for us. And that feasibility study cannot encompass what the city, municipality, or town will require on landscaping, buffers, or setbacks. And so that burden is still great. I am just a little ways down from where their building's going to be on the opposite side of the road. I spent $30,000 to become a public utility. I can serve 24 people a day. I have to maintain detailed records. I would much rather have called Larry and said, "Hey, Larry Morris, I want some city water." Come up here and said, "Okay, let's make some little changes here. Okay, John, we're going to make the landscaping changes, and you've already in a county zoning, and we're going to grant that county zoning, but what we're going to do is we're going to charge you three times for the water and sewer, or whatever that happens to be." I'd have said, "Thank you." So there's a lot more that goes into this, and I think Leslie and y'all made the point that some of this, maybe y'all need to have another meeting on this stuff. Because the developers, and you asked that they're scared to come up here and talk to you or go talk to you. I'm not scared to talk to any of you. And the bottom line is that it's not the staff's hard to deal with. It's the regulations that are hard to deal
Amen.
With.
Amen.
Yeah.
John, just a minute. I understand what you're saying, and it's frustrating at this level. I've been involved with a business that had seemingly had some difficulty, and it's been resolved. And I appreciate what you say about regulations, but the bottom line is, if we don't know it, we can't deal with it. So, if you're dealing with a planning department or any department within the city, and you're having difficulties, and we don't know about it, I don't know how you can hold us responsible for not fixing it. I mean, I think we all would want to make sure that we have a staff that works effectively with everybody in the city, and that we don't have anybody in the city afraid to deal with any department in the city. And I don't think any of us would sit back and listen and expect that to happen. It's happening, I guess.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding you or you're misunderstanding me. I've never had any problem with staffing on anything that I've done through my business, John Wade Plumbing, or in my building with any of my customers. The problem that I've had is the requirements they follow. It's not shoot the messenger, it's shoot whoever made the message.
Well,
you've
got to help us and tell us what it is that you don't like. I mean, there's a balance. There's always going to be a balance between, and our expertise comes from the staff. They tell us what rules they think we should implement, and by and large, unless we have any basis for not doing so, we generally accept their recommendations. You know, you're one of the few people that have been a regular attendee. Nice to have you back. We've missed you. But there's a lot of folks that don't come often enough to pass that on. The issue with the city, however, with the county, is not the regulations. At least I'm not sensing it's the regulations that are written in our ordinances and so forth. It's apparently. I mean, I'm not sure I understand what the differences are, except that they think that it's best for them to proceed on their own, and after they put up the building, then annex. And I'm with the mayor. I'm frustrated with that. Whether it's a different interpretation of the international codes or whatever it is, but
I can't answer for them. But the way that I would perceive it is, they're a governing body that control all of Aiken County. As far as their ordinances and their inspections, and they're fully competent in to do that. And then to come to the city and require some changes that they disagree with is probably where the problem is. Now, I'm speaking for John Wade. I'm not speaking for them whatsoever. But, you know, you think about this water thing, that DHEC controls that, and I know that some of y'all in the county understand that, and y'all push that, and I know that the municipality pushes for that, for the municipalities to grow their tax base. But I'm more, how many other people own business? I know Don owns a business. How many other people own? So none of you own a business, so I'm going to pose this to you, Don. If you had a means to make a regulation that no other paint store in Aiken or Aiken County could come into place, and you could control that, would that be fair?
Not at all.
That's what we got here, and that's what I'm saying.
Oh, it's not what we got here.
Well, that's my interpretation of it.
What we have here is very clear. And what we have here in our policies and our ordinances and what have you make Aiken what it is. They've been there for years. It's very clear what the ordinance says, the policies say. And if it isn't clear, then obviously somebody needs to tell it. But it's there. Now, the question at hand here is whether or not we're going to abide by a policy or not. It's very simple, as far as I'm concerned. So what does that have to do with what you said or other businesses not wanting to locate in Aiken? Yeah, right now, we've got a lot of construction going on, and there's going to be more that we even know about. So
I think the city should have the ability to say, hey, I got the water and I got the sewer. If you want it, you meet our regulations. I agree with you. You know, I agree with all three of you. I agree with the county's position, I agree with the city's position, and I agree with DHEC's position. But the problem is all three of y'all don't work with each other. And so it puts mandates on people that they can't feasibly pay for, and also harder regulations on them as far as time that they're using to meet some of these. And I think the city needs to be a little bit more relaxed on what they're doing, as far as maybe these guidelines need to be changed a little bit for a developer. And I agree, Aiken is a beautiful place. But I think there needs to be the city is always pushing that water and sewer further and further and further. Why are they doing that?
John, they're asking for it in this particular case.
But they're asking for it. But what about when you pass my piece of property and I'm not asking for it, but DHEC says, hey, I don't care whether you ask for it. You've got water available there. You've got sewer available there. You got to tie on. I don't care what the city of Aiken is going to require of you.
We're not out there shoveling every day trying to push water anywhere. What's going by your place, I imagine, has been there for years.
It has. I'm just using that as an example.
However the city goes about getting that water back then, and, of course, we've got sewer and, I think, water all the way up to I-20, maybe not one or the other. But that's been there. And however that worked out at that time, I can't really tell you the process you go through to do that. You buy the land and then you put it in, or however. I mean, somebody knows. I just don't happen to know right now.
Well, the only question...
But it is there.
Mr. Mayor, my question is, if ultimately, I mean, if we come in from different angles and at the end everybody agrees on, you know, whatever the specifications are and everybody abides by whatever the city requires, are we kind of holding up a policy? A policy is for us to change. I mean, if it's an ordinance, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but if it's not an ordinance, I mean, we can change it. We've changed a lot of policies in the past, and I know I wasn't really aware of it because I didn't study it, but apparently we've made exceptions to the policy in the past. Now we're worried about maybe having to make exceptions to the policies in the future. Let's take a look at the policy. Maybe the policy is not right. I mean, if at the end of the day we wind up with exactly what we would have had, you know, from the beginning, what difference does it make? I just don't see the difference. I mean, it's almost like we're insisting on a policy which we've already abrogated in a couple of past cases.
No, we have not. We have not abrogated the policy in the past.
Okay.
What we did in the past is when a construction project started in the county and then annexed during the course of the construction, we did not take over the inspection of the project for issuing a CO.
Well, that's exactly what we're talking about here.
No, you're talking here about providing public utility services.
Well, did these places that
the policy
building not use our utilities?
They did, but the point is here, the policy that's in play is you have a utility request, and the policy that we're talking about tonight is that council typically has required annexation to provide the utilities when the property is contiguous to the city limits.
Okay, clarify this for me. Did they require or ask us for utilities when the other cases started their construction?
don't know if that rule was in effect at that time, Steve. You're talking about Town Cheek Church. When did this rule go into effect?
But it's in effect now. And the point is, the only reason I brought up those other two construction projects was to the issue of who inspected the construction of the building. It had nothing to do with utility provision. It was just the building construction. So the building inspector does not want to come in the middle of a construction project and start doing inspections. The policy you're here about tonight is, if the property is contiguous and there's a utility request, council has typically required them to annex. What the county is here saying tonight is they don't object to annexing and they want to annex. They don't have an annexation request with you. What they're asking, as I understand it, is that the utility request be granted and that they have the right, and there be a condition that in granting the utility request, they do annex. That annexation petition would be filed after the first of the year.
Well, if you pin them down on a certain date and have it in writing,
you can do that. You can do that. Council can do that.
I just don't see what the argument is about. I mean, I understand the principle is, you know, we don't want to give an exception because, you know, maybe in the future some corporation is going to, you know, require the same thing. But
it could potentially open the door to other property owners who are already contiguous to the city limits, who want to develop their property, but have a perception that it would be easier to develop in the county than develop in the city, mm-hmm. than to do just what the county has done here, start the development process in the county, and then come to the city and say, we want water now.
We'll annex
when that's we get fine, the but they can have water when they guarantee they're going to be up to our standards.
Once they have a certain,
I mean, a date certain.
You asked what the difference was. That is the difference.
But if you have a date certain,
there is.
I mean, you've got them over the barrel, and they have to comply. Mm-hmm. So to me, like you know, I said earlier, 2 months, 3 months, or 4 months, it really doesn't make much difference. I think it's a great addition to the city. It's a great addition to the county, and you know, my main concern is, you know, if they pave Lincoln, there's going to be a lot of traffic down Mr. May's street because that's going to be a shortcut.
I think we have Mrs. English, the chair of the school board.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of council, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here because I do believe in growth and development. I had the opportunity this summer to go and visit with my one and only grandchild who lives in Texas. I was gone about 3 weeks, and when I returned, I didn't recognize my backyard. Where the building is being built, it takes in all of my backyard and then the side. What was a beautiful area of natural trees and evergreen, now I look directly over to the bypass and that housing development across the street from it. So, needless to say, I'm very, very much concerned about it. I shared some of your feelings, Mayor, when you were saying that you felt that they were coming to you after the fact. I think as citizens on Lincoln Avenue and that area, we feel pretty much the same. Now, I knew the county council building was going to be built, but I had no idea it was going to take away my backyard, my back area. And that much privacy. I was not able to attend the Planning Commission meeting, but I did send my concerns. I do see that some of those concerns were addressed. And I want to speak specifically about one of the ones that you said, young man here, that about the site lighting, that you were going to have site lighting, but that you did not want the clause in there not spilling over into the adjacent property. Now, that could be difficult, or not difficult, but could be uncomfortable in that if you've got a bedroom, and I do have bedrooms on that side of the property, that light shining in during the night, it sort of makes for a very unrestful night. I'm very much concerned about the buffer or the trees or lack of trees that you are going to plant there. Very much concerned, because as I said, it takes in my entire back. If I come out onto my backyard or come into my deck, I'm looking right over there. There is a tremendous drop-off. When I walked to the back of my property, I had to stop to do that because it's a big fall. And I guess I live on the higher end of Lakeland Avenue. So I'm really, really concerned about the greenery or the natural border, the privacy, absolutely no kind of aesthetic separation or demarcation of the property. I, too, am concerned about the amount of traffic. Because just where the dirt road starts, I am the second to the last house. And that huge pile of dirt that's there, that's higher than my house right now, I mean, it's just like looking over there, too. So, and if there's going to be a gate there, I'm very concerned about the amount of traffic. And then I don't want to have to go out on my deck and sit to have an enjoyable time and look at huge artillery or trucks back there, because I'm assuming that most of that area is going to be parking. Is that true? Not true? I don't know. And that most of the building is actually closer to University Parkway or the bypass. So I'm thinking that's parking. I guess whether you annex or into the city, that's pretty much up to you. But what I was really concerned about was the fact that you wanted, or it appeared from when I first read it, you wanted city services, but not necessarily wanted to abide by the city regulations, and that concerned me as far as the buffers were concerned and what have you. So, as I said, I'm all for economic development. I certainly would like to see, too, what those buffers or whatever greenery is going to be planted, what it will look like. I think as citizens, as law-abiding citizens and property owners, we ought to be able to see that. Thank you for the opportunity to address your concerns, and good night.
Thank you, Ms. English. Thank you. I want to ask a question about trees. Since you mentioned that, I've been thinking about that, too, because all the trees, I guess, are down now.
Gone.
What kind of tree ordinance does the county have that they will put into effect?
While he's coming to the microphone, Ms. English's letters on page 161.
Oh, okay.
Your agenda packet.
The county does not have a tree ordinance, a tree preservation. I forget the exact wording of the city's ordinance. The county does not have a tree preservation and replacement section in their ordinances like the city does. That's a major difference between the city of Aiken and the county of Aiken. There's a philosophical, fundamental belief by the city of Aiken that it's extremely important to preserve trees. That emphasis is not placed in the county ordinance.
That really bothers me.
I understand that. I would, if I may, address a couple of Ms. English's comments and Mr. Mays. We really do appreciate both of them coming. We do understand this. We take this very seriously. We're in the business of developing property and building buildings. We have these conversations very frequently, no different than when we build a high school out on a 100-acre piece of property that's been woods as long as anybody can remember. The the lighting piece of it, the only piece of it that we want to take out is that all we're asking is to comply by the city's lighting ordinance. If we have done that. If we get out onto the site and Ms. English or Mr. Mays have a light trespass problem, which is what you call it in the lighting business, which is to say that their backyard looks like they're next to a gas station, we're happy to go out there and try to make some changes. Of course, you have to balance the safety of people on the site with adjacent property. That no light over the property line, you're not requiring that in the city of Aiken. So I think to require that on a suburban parcel doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I don't have the photometric site plan in front of me, but it's 0.1 and 0.2 foot candles. I mean, it's a very minimal amount for a certain distance off of the property. I'm happy to share that photometric site plan with the neighbors and y'all. And again, I mean, we're happy to go out there and try to address some of those concerns. The goal of this is not to light it up like a gas station and not to light up the neighbor's property. And we've located light poles on the property with that in mind.
Do you have a plan for trees right now that you could show us? Where you're going to put back trees somewhat maybe similar to what you took down?
We are not planning on putting up trees like we took down. That was 20 acres of.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not likely to vote for this either. There are too many things that bother me a lot. And I'll just tell you that right now.
Question on the lighting. Normal security lighting shines outward. With regard to where you're at with this land on Lincoln, is it. Can the lighting be adjusted to flow inward?
We have designed the lighting so that it does not cross the property line any more than it would if it were designed to be in the city of Aiken, in downtown city of Aiken proper.
So Mrs. English doesn't have to worry about her bedroom being illuminated.
How did he say that?
That's
plan?
No more so than if she lived in exactly the same situation downtown. Okay. The light poles are not located at the property line. They're located well inward of the site. And again, we're happy to share that site plan and can interpret it because it's numbers on a drawing. But
when you talked about the buffer again, and I hope you sense that it's pretty important to us.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate it when you say that you shouldn't be expected to provide 100% privacy, but I think it's fair to understand that we can't have these neighbors made whole, in other words, back to where it was before you eliminated their natural buffer. It is important to all of us that they have a buffer, that they shouldn't walk out their backyard and look at your parking lot or look at your roof, given that they're higher up. Somehow we got to do something to fix that.
I agreed with the first half of that statement. We absolutely agree that there should be a buffer and have never argued that there shouldn't be a buffer.
Yeah.
This discussion is about how extensive of a buffer should be provided in this case.
And I'm sort of sensing, again, this is a resolution, and normally a resolution I think we would be expected to approve tonight. I'm not prepared to approve it tonight. I think we've talked about so many things that I don't know that we would know what changes to make to the ordinance, and I think we need to study what we've all said. Obviously, we're going to approve this. I mean, the county's going to put their building up. There's no question about that. But I'm not sure after however long we've been at this that I understand all of the things that we've asked for. Clearly, we want the buffer. No question about that. And I have to say that there's a level of frustration because we've all known that this building was coming up. We've all known this. And whether, as John Wade says, it's as much the city as it is the county, but it's distressing that we didn't get together far earlier. The letter in the planning department, Dr. Packett, was for September, and that's your application for to put the building up. And I guess, can I assume at that time that your work in the terms of the design, which I don't want to say this with any animosity, but once you did your design, that pretty well, in your mind, wanted to have the city step aside and waive the city inspector getting involved. Is that true? I mean, when you When did you finish the design? I mean, this application was September. But you finished the design.
I'll tell you when we do. We'll be done by the time the building's finished. We're still working on it. It's a continual working process. Yes, sir.
But if you're beyond the point where it's reasonable for you to get the city involved.
I think the city's planning department is telling you that's a bad idea. I don't know why you would go against what your own department. Y'all said earlier that you listen to the professionals that mm-hmm. you hire for recommendations. If they're telling you not to do it, I can't imagine why you would do it. If I just step back, I mean, again, there are eight things here. The first item, which is the annexation. Mr. Killian and the county have agreed to do that. It's simply a matter of, is it tonight, 60 days, 120 days? Items 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 have all been addressed. The buffer yard, I'm stating my opinion as to why I think we should only have to meet the county's buffer yard standards. If you want us to meet Mr. Evans' buffer yard requirement, we're going to do it. I mean, we're not going to not get water to the site over two rows of evergreens. So I don't think there's, I mean, I understand everyone's frustration at the timing and the politics involved, but other than the sort of the duration within which the annexation agreement has to be signed, I don't think there's any material difference in what everyone's saying.
And I want to clear up one point, too, because I'm afraid there's some confusion. The building inspector would not inspect the construction of the building. The zoning official would definitely inspect whether this construction project is meeting these conditions that are contained in whatever council votes on. So the list of eight is there. That's something that would fall on the planning department, and the zoning official would very much be involved in that.
How many zoning officials do we have in the city?
We have Tommy Paradise. That's our zoning official.
Well, he's going to take care of all the construction in the city at Woodside, the county building.
He'll take care of zoning issues, Mr. DeWar. He'll take care of the zoning issues. And he is charged with that, and he certainly responds to citizens' complaints, direction of his planning director, and that is his job duty.
Can you define for me, please, zoning issues relating to this construction?
It's the conditions that are listed here in the resolution that you
have. So he would be responsible for enforcing these conditions?
He would. Yep. That would fall on the planning.
And the county building department would be responsible for making sure that this is built to the code, international code standards.
International building code, and issue the certificate of occupancy.
And that would not, well, we would issue the certificate of occupancy, or
the county would issue that. We would not
issue the certificate of occupancy when they're satisfied. And then it would be annexed to the city.
Well, the annexation, my understanding, would be filed after the first of the year, so that would happen after the first of the year. You wouldn't wait for the building to be built to annex the property in. You would go ahead and do that.
So you would annex before the certificate of occupancy?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to address one thing that you mentioned earlier on. It had to do with, this wasn't city land. And therefore, why should it be, why should it look like city land or something to the effect that why should we expect to put our policies in effect in this land? I disagree totally with that. That's the way Aiken has grown. The reason Aiken looks as good as it does, and of course there's always ways that it ought to be improved, but it's because of policies. And it's not because of policies that we end up changing and think, well, you know, this is a policy that we can change, so what's wrong? Or this one, no, we're not going to change this one. That is expected to be, when it finishes, to be a lovely place, and I'm sure it will be. And there's no doubt that everybody wants that building to be built. That's not the problem. To me, the problem is we're going against our ordinance. We're weakening our ordinance when we do this, and it's going to come up to bite us. And it seems to be no real reason that's been given yet.
Yep.
It goes back to the why of the case.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm hard-headed and all that, I probably am, but I still don't understand the why of this thing when you talk in terms of 3 to 4 months from now you'll annex.
understand. The issue of planning and policy to control the appearance of development. You don't have to convince me of the importance and the need of those things. I think the point of my comment was that there's that the 20-acre parcel on University Parkway is distinctly different than the parcel located in downtown. And we wouldn't be here tonight having these conversations.
Is. But it's going to be in the city.
And it's no different than holding, I mean, the city of Greenville has a design review board that has a pedestrian zone and a vehicular zone, and they're lessening standards. It's simply a recognition that as cities grow and develop, that the core has a different feel and look than the city of Charleston. You don't have the architectural review board in the city of Charleston reviewing and approving development in Mount Pleasant. Not to say that what's going on in Mount Pleasant is what you want. I'm simply saying there's a distinction between this parcel that it's going to take 50 years. I mean, I hope Aiken grows like gangbusters too, but it's going to be 50 years before this 20 acres is in downtown Aiken. It'll never be in downtown Aiken. And I'm simply saying that there's a difference. And that whole buffer yard discussion, which again, you know, we've already said if you want to make us do it, we're going to do it. But that's simply my point there, is that this isn't, the policy is written as a blanket, this is what you do no matter what if you're in the city. And this is a different case, is all that I'm saying.
It may be to you, but it isn't to us, because we have a gas station, Highway 19, that's not going to be in the city probably for 20 years by the time development gets out there. But they wanted our water, and they complied with our landscaping plan, and so forth. And it looks like a fine facility. So, and there are several like that. Let me ask you this question. If we were to, say, if we insisted on annexation today, to make you happy, get done what you want to get done, what would you ask us to waiver in our regulations that would not interfere with your putting the building up the way you want to? I mean, you want to put the building up and then annex. So I'm saying, what if you annexed and put the building up, but we were asked to waiver whatever it is that's bothering you?
The full landscape plan review and approval process, for one, that's probably the biggest. The tree preservation and replacement on a 20-acre site of scrub pines, that's not a feasible thing to undertake. I mean, it's technically infeasible.
But how, Richard, would that apply if it were in effect for this project?
We would have had to, I can tell you, we would have had to survey the property and mark every tree over 6 inches or 4 inches or 8 inches. I mean, thousands of trees.
Okay,
and then
so
when we cut them down, we would have had to replace them with something.
So you would want a waiver of our tree replacement ordinance.
Right.
Okay. What else?
I mean, that's the biggest one. And then, the landscape ordinances and review process.
But the landscape, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of flexibility there because...
We're talking about buffer yards.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about buffer on Lincoln especially, you know.
But the landscape ordinance has more than buffer yards in it.
And what is it about the beyond the buffering?
It's written for the city of Aiken. And when I say the city of Aiken, I mean downtown Aiken. It's written as if you were developing a half acre or three quarters of an acre site.
You're right. It probably is. I mean, that gas station I was talking about probably has landscaping that they would not want to have, but we made them put up. So, and again,
when you spread that over 20 acres instead of a quarter acre or half an acre, that becomes more onerous, and we don't think necessary.
And that might be something that we could be flexible with. I'm sure. I have no problem.
The Fresh Market, the Academy Sports, the hotel project, the SPCA all had to comply with the landscape ordinance, and they were larger tracts. They were not half or three quarters. They were larger tracts of development.
Now, I can't speak to all of them, but South Park was an existing, I mean, all of those, well, no, SPCA was brand new.
Brand new.
South Park is obviously a revitalization. But the county is a little different. It's a government agency.
We're not asking to. I mean, your question's sort of taking a step back, I think, and saying, well, if we start from scratch, what are you willing to do and not do? All we want to talk about tonight is the Planning Department has made a recommendation to you, and we simply wanted to go through that list and give you our thoughts on that list. And of that list, I think the only thing that there's disagreement about is the length of time between when you approve this, if you approve it, and when the annexation agreement gets signed.
Well, are you going to comply with the Planning Commission's letter says there could be a condition that the project comply with the city's landscaping regulations? Are you going to comply with the city's landscaping?
I forgot to bring that up earlier. Including the buffer yard requirement that's in this document, of every plan review comment we've heard that's in this document, we're willing to comply with. That memo implies that there are more reviews to come. I'm not used to iterative reviews of things. We review things and it gets we make the changes and it gets approved. So there's a tagline in there that says we still reserve the right to make some changes and we promise they're not major.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Evans can speak
at the end
that.
Of the day, you're going to comply with the city's landscaping regulations.
No, sir. We'll comply with what this ordinance, this resolution is proposing.
Okay, I don't understand what you're proposing.
Ed, could you just let us know what landscaping review have you seen on this project, if any?
We've gone as far as we can go with a review of their landscape plan. We cannot complete a review of the landscape plan until we know what City Council is going to require. So we've gone as far as we can go. The degree of the plannings they have done, I think, are pretty well going to satisfy the city ordinance, except for the buffer that we're talking about.
The buffer was the issue, but as far as the rest of the tract,
again, we haven't completed the review. It looks really good. I mean, they're planting a lot of trees. Our ordinance says, yes, you do have to replace trees that are removed, but only until you run out of room. Yeah. And from the looks of their plan, they're putting about as many trees as they can get on this piece of property. Except, well, they're putting trees back in the buffer, but they're pines and live oaks, which won't provide a screen.
And that was your reason for suggesting the ligustrum?
Correct. So
and that was about a $5,000 expense?
Well, if you go 4 foot, it's $12,000, roughly.
Okay.
3 feet, 3 foot is about $5,000.
Oh, okay.
Well, when is the building going to be, quote, unquote, open for business?
Don't go away, Ed.
He's not going away.
The target date is February, March of 2014.
Okay. And how much will your 4 foot bushes grow in about a year?
I have absolutely no. It depends on the weather.
Everything I've planted, I've killed, you know, so I don't know.
I know more about that than I do traffic engineering, but not much.
Here, Tim's coming.
Mr. Copley may have an answer for us. Tim, have you got an idea?
We have a lot of environmental factors that will figure into how much they're going to grow over a year.
Yeah, I mean, if you had average rainfall and it thrived, it didn't die.
Yeah, a foot and a half, 2 feet in the first year. I think they're expected to be 12 feet at maturity, you know, which would be 5 to 7 years, something like that.
If that helps.
Well, again, going back to the question, is 12 feet going to take care of the neighbors on Lincoln?
Well,
do we know?
You know, I think it's important to remember at 4 feet tall, they're going to be about as big around as the chairs that you're sitting in, and that's why we called. That's why Mr. Rapp suggested two rows. They're on 10-foot centers, and at maturity, they'll be touching each other like a screen. So the idea of the second row is to help fill in the gaps, you know, while they're growing to maturity.
Can you define maturity?
5 to 7 years. And
even at maturity, we're not sure that they're going to. And again, I'm not looking for total privacy, but are they going to afford privacy or protection for the people in Lincoln?
A great example is Whiskey Road with Palmetto Golf Course. That is a screen there. Those are immature.
But folks, the reality is that had we complied with the city's requirements from the beginning, and had we been able to manipulate the site to do this, and had left 10 feet of undisturbed buffer, in scrub pine territory, that's 4 and 5 ceiling tiles. That's probably 3 or 4 pine trees that are. I mean, where does the canopy for a pine tree start? I mean, had we followed your regulations from the beginning, there still would have been the shock and the visibility of those things. So I mean, again, some of these things just aren't within our control. All we can do is try to do what we think is best. What y'all say is best, and if your staff says that they think that that's a reasonable, adequate way of mitigating things, are these folks is it ever going to go back to looking like it did then? Absolutely not. Development, that doesn't happen, unfortunately.
No, but we'd like assurances that they're not going to look at a parking lot. And I don't know what it takes to do that. I really don't. But I think an engineer ought to be able to figure it out.
I think your staff has said that what they've proposed, they understand the concerns. I don't want to speak for them, but they understand the concerns, and they're saying that this is what they would recommend.
All right, Mr. Jacobs, let me ask you a question. How hard is it to take a piece of 8.5 by 11 or 11.7? And my background is construction engineering, and I've done the same thing you're doing in front of citizens in different cities in the U.S. How long does it take you two, Mr. Evans, and y'all staff get in the back room and make a plan? You've got one in here that shows the parking lot with trees and stuff around it. It's not very difficult, excuse me for using the difficult word, to draw up a landscape plan. There are a lot of little ladies and men in this town that do that for a living. Why can't that be done? And Mr. Evans looked at it and said, this fixes it. You don't like it, but you think this ought to pass council and send it to us.
If you pass this resolution with this wording, we know exactly what to do. There's no question.
Oh, you don't either, my Lord. It doesn't tell you what they're doing here. Y'all arguing over how tall the trees are. We've been listening an hour and a half to how tall the trees are, and we're not getting anywhere.
Whose decision was it to remove the trees so soon, especially without consulting the residents? Who made the decision?
We began construction on the site.
I know, but who? I mean, I don't think it was right to cut those trees down from behind their house without at least talking to them and letting them know that that's what you were doing. I think it was a surprise to them to come out and see the bulldozers and for Rosemary English to come home and not have any of that privacy that she's been accustomed to all of her, most of her life, or at least most of the time that she's been a resident.
We understand it's a shock to the neighborhood, but we intended to put back what we can put back that will probably be, as KJ mentioned, probably be better than what was there with the tall pines. Now, I know that with all the undergrowth and all that, that won't be there, and I understand that they're concerned about that. But frankly, it's going to be difficult for a little while this construction goes on. Once it's done, we'll try to get back to as satisfactory a level of buffer that we can. This site was picked some time ago, and there was a lot of publicity about this site being picked, both good and bad, from all aspects of that. So I don't think it's any surprise that the building is going there, or should not have been a surprise that the building was going there.
Oh, no, I'm not saying the building was a surprise.
I understand.
I'm just saying the removal of the trees so far in advance of construction was the surprise for them.
I mean, we were turning dirt within days of those trees being removed. We didn't just go clear-cut the site because we were bored. I mean,
but nobody knocked on the door and said, look, this is what we're doing. You're not going to have any.
No.
Think about what they would experience after that dirt was turned.
Quickly moving forward here, this is a request tonight for water and sewer. Mm-hmm. That's it. Oh, okay. The question tonight is, do we grant them water and sewer?
And
the conditions
for
the buffer. And I need to know whether the neighbors are satisfied with the buffer. You're not satisfied with the buffer. Okay.
I think we would like to see...
If you don't mind, please.
Ms. Rideout, could we pull up... I think it's page 150.
We have absolutely no idea what the buffer is going to look like.
It's on. She's going to pull.
If you're talking,
Ms. English, she's going to pull that up.
Okay.
Page 156, Ms. Ryan. It's on the left-hand side.
I'll point to her.
Okay. And so how tall are we talking about as far as trees are concerned?
Mr. Mason's property is this one.
Okay.
And Ms. English's property is this one.
Okay.
And so what they're talking about is that buffer being continuous this entire length.
But how high will those trees be, that buffer be? And that's the back. But what about the side?
What Mr. Coakley has shared and Mr. Evans has shared, Ms. English, they're going to have ligustrum bushes 10 feet on center. two rows, they'll be staggered, and then there'll be some trees that'll be planted, and I think Mr. Killian or Mr. Jacobs can speak to the trees they'll plant, but that's what they're talking about.
Well, I would like to be able to see that on paper, so I know exactly what we're getting.
And what you're describing, Richard, is seems to be on that page only a short distance. It doesn't cover all the houses. Is that, was it your intent that it go along the whole line?
Well, that was what planning staff had recommended.
But if you look at that page, at that chart, it looks like those trees...
Their recommendation was that's 1,000 and something feet of linear property adjacency, anywhere that the residential abuts our development.
The residential property along the southern boundary, that's on page 151 of your material.
Which is that whole back side of our site, and then as it hooks around Miss English's property.
Right. So that would be a residential boundary.
No, in retrospect, we should have had a work session on this project so we could understand a little bit better. I'm overwhelmed, quite honestly. But.
Well, I mean, I'm going back to my other question. This is not high tech. We discussed an hour and a half, and somebody can read through the last hour and a half or 2 hours of discussion and decide whether, and if you need me to do it, I'll meet with y'all and say, put a 4-foot tree in here, whatever. I go out to some of these other developments, and they sure didn't count the trees and replace them. I can tell you for sure. We've had that discussion for 2 or 3 hours here. But I still think this is a good enough plan that you can take this information. You can make a plan what you want and make a plan what Mr. Evans thinks the neighbors want, and then we can go from there.
And it's a generous offer, Mr. Edgar. I'm sure that Mr. Evans and his staff would be happy to meet with the architect, and I'll be glad to sit in on that and with the work that's through. Yeah, good.
I mean, Clay, am I asking something? I mean, this is not high tech.
No.
And now there's some money involved, but we've talked this. And forgive me for saying this, but this is a secondary discussion we're having for other reasons, okay? That's what I would look at this if I was sitting in a contract meeting. And this problem we can solve. You can put what you want on paper. Maybe this is what you want. When I say you, that's what you plan. But let's see to meet the city ordinance, what would it be? And we could put them side by side, and we can decide which trees. Right now...
Mr. Evans, correct me if I'm wrong, but that buffer, the proposed buffer is more restrictive than the city would have typically put in. That because of this unusual condition, that their proposed solution, which we can read back if we all want to make sure we understand, is more restrictive than if we'd have just done this downtown.
Well, then make three plans in. Make one that you think is right and make one that Ed thinks is right. I mean, we got to have a piece of paper to look at. I mean...
No, sir, 1,000 feet. Yes, sir.
All the residential properties on the southern border.
All around.
Okay. All around.
So what's here is going to be all along.
The residential properties.
The residential area.
You put the photograph up there.
Are those trees? Are those trees all up and down there?
Yes.
They will be.
They will be.
Okay, and what type of trees?
There are oaks that are lining the driveway, and then the buffer, which is shown, that's a conceptual. You're not going to walk out there and find each and every, if you numbered those trees and walk out on the site after it's finished in that buffer yard, you're not going to see this tree. That's a conceptual. There are notes on the landscape drawings that reference buffer requirements, and in this case, if this resolution passed with this wording, that buffer would read, just as Mr. Evans has suggested, with the two rows spaced in the way that they're spaced. So the oaks that are along the drive, that back road of the property, are representative of the quantity and the spacing. The buffer is not representative. The denser piece that you see at the back door that's closest to Mr. Mays's property is a heavier screening and a heavier buffer that we did for two reasons. One, because their houses at the end of that cul-de-sac are extremely close to the property.
They are.
And secondly, because coming out the back door of our property, we want that screen as well. I mean, we don't want to look at him any more than he wants to look at us in that case. Mm-hmm. So we did, before any of these discussions, we recognized that condition and made that buffer more intense where it's the worst, where the adjacencies are the roughest.
Well, I tell you, if I can call up Cold Creek down there, get Donnie Hooks, and say, I want you to do this yard, which I've done for a couple of businesses because I do volunteer work around town and clubs and stuff. And he would draw me up a site plan and say the same things you did, and he'd have little circles all over the drawing. When he gets through with that plan, you can recognize what's on that drawing. And I think that's what I'm asking for to see here, is something that simple that a landscaper does here in town. And make three of them or make four of them.
A circle on a piece of paper will do nothing to demonstrate compliance with what we're trying to solve.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jacobs. That just won't fly with me. I'm a professional engineer, and I've done over these. You're barking up the wrong tree over here. If you can't provide a piece of paper, doing it. So, I mean, it's that simple. I'm sorry. I'm a simple-minded engineer.
I understand.
Make three or four of them. Make yours and Mr. Evans and too far compliance and not compliance enough.
And then you'll pick one based on, how will we determine the three options?
You can lay them out here and we'll see which one
works. I mean, we proposed one. Mr. Evans has proposed a second. And so the third would come from where?
Marry the two together.
But we're willing to do what Mr. Evans has suggested.
What is it?
Or restricted.
All I'm doing is just show it to me.
But he doesn't require us to draw a plan that literally shows every single ligustrum. All he wants is to know that there's two rows 10 feet apart that are spaced 10 feet on center, and the inspectors come out with their tape measure and measure it, and if it complies, it complies.
If council approves the resolution with the buffer the way I've described it, we would require a landscape plan showing the ligustrum and what's going in that buffer.
We spent more money here and more time paying the people than to draw up the plan. And you and I both know that.
That's because you're not spending your money drawing the plans, but I understand. We're happy to comply with what Mr. Evans would like us to do.
Clay, question, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind. Do you need this approved or rejected, whatever, tonight?
It would be helpful to us if we could do that.
And that postponed at another meeting?
When's the next meeting?
November 12th.
If it's approved, how long will it take? What reviews are involved after approval, I guess, is the question that I have.
Before
the actual water is put onto the site. I know we've got construction water right now, so it's not holding us up.
Right. Mr. Evans, if council approved this tonight, would you want the landscape plan before telling Mr. Morris to go ahead and provide the water? Would you want the landscape plan?
It depends on how council approves the resolution.
Just assume if the resolution is approved with the planning department recommendations for the 25-foot wide buffer with the ligustrum planning. And I think you said you had conducted the landscape review as far as you could without council. If council votes, the next step would be to get that landscape plan to you, and then you would communicate with Mr. Morris.
Right. Once we approve the landscape plan, we should be done.
What is your review period for that?
A couple of days, maybe. Not long.
And my question, my reason for asking the question, Clay, is to just remove all concerns, minimize the concern, I should say, and you're getting someone to do a sketch plan of what that looked like. Let's review it and decide on the next meeting.
I guess I'm confused about the review process, because what we would expect when a municipality reviews a drawing is that they tell us what's expected, we provide it, and they approve it. If we don't provide what they tell us to provide, then they don't approve it, and they say you didn't provide it. So what we have is Mr. Evans is providing us with a very clear direction on what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're
going
to go back.
Submit it.
We're going to go back and draw it.
Right.
We're going to submit it to him, and it's going to comply, assuming it complies
with him,
and then he'll approve it.
The missing link is the council.
It comes to us.
Right. The council wants to look at the landscape plan with the planning department conditions incorporated.
Where do we draw the line between planning department and approval?
We just did.
There's a level of frustration, I know. I can appreciate it, but we live with the problems we create. We can go to projects that we, quite frankly, didn't focus enough on. And
I understand.
Okay.
We want to work in Aiken again. We're doing a lot of projects here. We want to keep doing it. We're not trying to hoodwink anybody. I'm being sincere when I say that a two-dimensional, especially landscape of all things, drawing does not depict the condition. So I think you just have to trust your staff that the recommendation that they are making, they understand the context, they're hearing all these things, and they're not changing their minds. I think to approve it conditional, I mean, this is what we would typically see, is you would approve it on the condition that that is met.
This
and
is
so
not
if we a, meet that condition, then it complies. If we don't meet it, then it doesn't comply.
This is not a typical project.
I understand, but I don't. Okay. I mean, for city council to be reviewing landscape plans is a dangerous precedent, I think.
No, not in the city of Aiken it isn't. Not in the city of Aiken it isn't.
We just did McDonald's a few months ago, so I guess it ain't all bad.
Okay.
The Golden Arches are still there. Well, I'm looking for... I guess what Mr. Evans says, he needs to know council's wishes. So how are we going to tell Mr. Evans council's wishes if we don't approve it, or we approve, God forbid, a landscape ordinance or something for this or resolution?
There's one more stipulation, Reggie, and that is we.
No, I mean, we got to do something. It's 2 hours now.
We talked a little bit earlier about a date certain for the annexation. Mm-hmm. So if we agree on letting the planning department, approve whatever it happens to be, if the planning department accepts it, we accept it, we let them proceed, and then we have a date certain when Mr. Killian's going to come for an annexation proposal.
And again, Mr. Smith needs to speak up at the appropriate point. My understanding of the choices are that you can approve the resolution as submitted. That has the conditions in it. It doesn't have the annexation condition. You could put in your motion to approve the resolution to have annexation by a certain date. Or you could vote to deny the request, and then the county would have to look at what action they would take based on denial. Or you could vote to carry it over to the November 12th meeting. And at that meeting on November 12th, we could again take a look at it, look at a revised landscape plan, and see if council's comfortable with that. That provides the guidance to planning department to then go forward and recommend the utility
but
connection.
But don't we already delegate to the planning department certain judgmental, whether it comes up to code or
You have code, when you've approved a concept plan. And I think certainly in the materials tonight, there is a concept plan with the stipulation that the recommendation from the planning department that planning commission did not pass was a denser buffer along the residential area, which would address the neighborhood's concerns. That was the Legustrum plan instruction. And if I understood you correctly, Mr. Evans, and again, several folks have spoken about what you're thinking tonight, and I don't want to join that crowd, but my understanding from what you've shared with us tonight is that if council does approve this condition, you know what the landscape plan needs to look like with the Legustrum.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I think at the very least, the county would like for at least your staff to know what it is you want us to draw the plan to.
So correct. And that's in the condition that's in the resolution as draft.
If that's the condition you want us to draw to, we'll draw to that. I think that's.
And then it's got to come back to council.
No.
So that it's approved and it's
done. It depends on how council votes tonight. Whether you vote to approve, if you vote to approve, it would not come back to you. It would be on the planning department to make sure the resolution as passed is complied with by the property owner.
Right,
if you vote to carry it over to November 12, yes, it would come back to you.
All right, then my opinion, and it may be a very strong one, I don't know if I need to move a motion or what, but I'd move a motion that would continue this until the next meeting and come back with a landscape plan that we get prior to the meeting.
You would get it prior to the meeting.
And prior to the Thursday before the meeting. So as soon as it's ready, we would get it and take a look at it. Because that's what we hung up on here. And, everybody's made a good point about they'd build in the county, then want to annex in the city. So we'll have to handle that out of this meeting. But I'll move a motion.
Motion to continue or motion to carry over?
I have a motion on the floor.
To lay it on the table till the next meeting.
Yes, that's a motion. So it takes a second.
Do we have a second then?
Yeah, I'll second that.
To delay it, essentially delay it, continue
yeah,
it.
To a time certain. A motion to table. You'd have to have a motion to kick it off. You could motion to carry it over to a time certain, which would be the next
meeting. We call it motion to continue.
The question is, does the staff know what we are expecting them to do based on the motion?
I think that what I understand from Mr. Evans is he knows what he means when he's described this Legustrum planning and how he would look for it on a landscape plan, and I think he's certainly willing to work with Mr. Killian and with the architect to make sure those plans represent what he would normally expect to see for that type of plan.
Well, 2 points, and I hope that the neighbors will be involved from the city staff, not the county, but at least to reassure them of what we're doing.
Any of the neighbors that want to leave your name and address with the city clerk, we can certainly make sure that that happens, Mr. DeWine.
Your cover letter, Richard, says that the county is asking for a waiver from compliance with city building and sprinkler codes, but that's not in the resolution.
We explain that. There's not a waiver from the code. It's that the city would not inspect the sprinkler system.
Okay. Should that be in the resolution then?
It can be, and we can look at that. We draft for the 12th.
Okay.
That's not a problem.
Yeah. And when would that so-called inspection come?
The county would do that inspection.
Well, I mean, if we agree that they're not going to annex for 3 or 4 months.
The county would do that inspection as part of the certificate
of occupancy. I mean, it goes without saying they've got that authority to do that.
They do. They do.
I would just want to say that I would have been much more comfortable with a work session on this. This is a massive thing to come and see for the first time. I mean, we obviously got it Thursday, and I'm sure all of us read it. I did. But I'm sure sometimes we have two ordinances, and we can ask a lot of questions on the first one and get comfortable and vote it for the second one. But it has to be a resolution. It can't be an
ordinance. For the utility service, you've done that via resolution.
Yeah. But again, some of them are simpler than others.
And again, Mr. DeWire, there's nothing wrong with council requiring two readings. We've done that on other items when we come into issues in the room.
Well, that's essentially what we're doing here. And I would echo Council Member Ebner's comments. As soon as you got it ready, I'd love to see it.
Richard, are we charging them the regular city rates for water?
Wait a minute. Would until the end.
Okay. Gary, do you have something?
I did. You mentioned the language about the annexation agreement.
Mm-hmm.
The first condition of the resolution actually talks about whether or not an annexation agreement would be required, mm-hmm. or if an annexation agreement was not required, then another agreement would have to be done to. I think what I'm hearing from council is you're probably going to require an annexation agreement, and what I'm hearing from the county is they're probably amenable to that. I think as part of this two-week continuance, it might be worthwhile to hammer out the date that would go into that first paragraph. You know, how long is it going to be before the annexation?
We're good with that. I want to make sure that I understand though exactly what I'm going to ask these guys to do, and that is to draw a landscape plan to Mr. Evans's recommendation.
That's what we.
Yes. So when you come back in 2 weeks, you will come back with a plan that has been drawn based on conversation with.
That's what I want to make sure before I ask them to go do that.
And I guess we would just like to understand the process moving forward from that point, because what I can tell you is that a 4 foot tall ligustrum is probably 2 feet in diameter when you plant it. And so a 2 foot circle, if I put a 2 foot circle here and go over and put another circle that's 2 feet big, on a drawing, that's going to look, the first reaction, unanimously, and I would say if I was looking at that piece of paper without context, this isn't enough. Mm-hmm. We'd like to understand what is that process for moving forward and how do we know when it's enough?
Well, again, you'll need to work with Mr. Evans on that, sir, and draw it up based on the recommendation. We're coming back on November 12 for council to look at that. If it's helpful, we can certainly have the city horticulturalist review it as well, to make sure that your drawing reflects the recommendation and that he's made to plan.
I don't want to beat a dead horse. I just want to make sure I understand. What you're saying is that if we draw what they're asking us to draw and bring it to council, and they're satisfied with the way we've drawn it, then it will be approved.
The council's going to review it in public session with public comment like we've had tonight, and council will vote on it.
Okay. Is there a vehicle to have some an informal process prior to that date so that we can actually approve it on the 12th? I mean, we don't want to waste y'all's time.
I think Mr. Smith might have a problem with that as well as several councilmen.
But, you know, that goes back to our point. We have a professional staff. We have a person that's our planning director who says he, in fact, understands what the requirements are. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reason we have a professional staff is so they can give us an opinion. Now, whether he consults with Mr. Rapp or somebody else, basically, if it's not satisfactory, he's going to let us know. But basically, he should have the authority on this instance to approve it, to work with the developer. And then when it comes to the council, even if we vote on it, it'll be a pro forma vote. We have to take our staff's recommendations into consideration.
Well, we'll have a memo from Mr. Evans at the meeting on the 12th. If you pass the motion to carry this over to the 12th, you'll have a memo from him. You'll have a memo from me as well.
And do we have a second to that motion? Dinner.
Yes, I second it.
Okay.
I think what they've talked about tonight, Ms. English, is it is a 4-foot plant, but it would grow into a 12-foot plant. That's what I've heard in the room tonight.
And Mr. Evans and I were talking. What we'd like, again, is to show you an example of it, because really it doesn't do justice on a piece of paper in either for or against. Well, 4 feet is like here.
Yeah. 4 feet, and then you said it's going to take 7 years for it to get to 12 feet.
Tim said five to seven.
Five to seven.
And again, Ms. English, if you'll sign up, we'll make sure when we get this plan, we'll make it available for the neighborhood to come in and have a look at it, and we'll be available to answer questions.
We'd
be glad for you to come in, and we'll set up a time that's convenient. Just please leave the contact information with the clerk so we know how to let you know. Yes, ma'am.
We'll try to submit photographs of examples that are representative of that type of version.
It would help to just show what the south side looks like with those planting, and we can do that in terms of taking photographs.
Absolutely.
Take some of Whiskey Road there. I mean, that's absolutely a prime example on Whiskey.
And I think something to bear in mind, and I hope the neighbors will appreciate, when we first did Whiskey Road, everybody said, oh, my goodness, there's Palmetto Golf Course, totally exposed. And now folks drive by and don't think a thing about it because all you see are green leaves. I mean, really. So, you know, our city horticulturist does a great job, and he has a good vision for the end product. I mean, there's a time period to get there, but when it's there, it's a good product.
And they'll be somehow maintained until they're grown?
You're worried about them thriving.
Watering, yeah.
Right. They would have to,
we're as interested as the neighbors in how they look.
Is there a sprinkler system?
No.
For that?
The ligustrum's a fairly hardy plant, and in fact, You talked about the ridge at Chucker Creek, so I'll talk about the ridge at Chucker Creek. That's some of the plants that survived, where the ligustrum, everything else was dying. The pine trees and so forth died. The ligustrum has survived on both sides of the fence.
Will that giant pile of dirt that's on Lincoln eventually be removed?
You need a vote on the motion.
That's just storage.
Yeah, I know. We got a motion in a second.
That's just storage, so eventually it's going to go.
Mr. Mayor, I'll call for the question.
Well, let's go. Let's read. We got a motion in a second.
Right.
I'd like to hear exactly what the motion is.
The motion was to carry the matter over to November 12th.
Oh, okay.
All right, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
The annexation aspect of it and everything.
Anything.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimous.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did.
Mr. Evans' motion. Okay. And seconded by Mr. Right. DeWall.
We have a piece of business.
Thank you for
we
your
didn't
time.
Do yet. We didn't ask for commissioners' appointments.
We're getting to it right now.
Oh, it's not on the agenda.
It is on the agenda. It's on your next page under information. You've got a report from the city manager. I was going to update council on the Safe Communities Initiative. We have 55 volunteers that have signed up to help support this case. We've talked. The Director of Public Safety, Charles Brank, and I had a telephone conference with David Kennedy. He's the author of the book that we distributed to council this summer. He's very willing to help us and has given us his checklist as far as organizing for the first notification. That's the call-in for the offenders that are committing the crime in this community. we've decided to focus on offenders who are in groups, whether that's a crew or a gang or other loose-knit group. We're going to look at the key leaders of those groups, and they will be the subject for the first call-in that we do, which will be after the first of the year. Public Safety is doing the statistical research at this time. We have staff who are working with the volunteers to determine how they want to be involved in the notification we do after the first of the year. High Point is actually doing a notification in December. We're going to travel up and actually see the process firsthand. I mean, you can describe it, watch a video of it. We're actually going to see it live. We'll have a presentation to council on December 10th about how we're going to organize our notification in January.
But your game plan is to focus on groups as opposed to level of crime, which is what the...
The violent crimes that we've been dealing with since last December originate out of groups, whether that's a gang or crew or cell or whatever you want to call them. So that's who we're going to focus on.
But you're identifying those people based on your crime data statistics?
Violent crime statistics connected to groups. That we have to start somewhere. Chief Sumner and Mr. Kennedy, Dr. Kennedy, was actually very adamant that you have to start out with a very specific focus. What the High Point folks brought to us is the fact that they've worked on this for 15 years. So as they succeeded in one area, then they moved out to other areas to address crime throughout the community.
Well, that's why I asked the question, because typically in the cities in that book, they all focused on murder, et cetera, and they went down the chain, and that's what I understood the chief to tell us happened at High Point.
Now we're looking, and that would be our approach as well, because, again, the models... Not just High Point, but the models for the other communities have shown that's what you have to do.
Okay.
On our water service replacement report that I have here, we have started in Woodside. We're going to work on Spencer Drive as well. Mr. Morris is here. And we're going to work in Kensington Subdivision. Those are our highest incidents of water leak rate. We're starting out in Woodside. We've used all three crews there to have them together on a specific job, at least initially, and we're going to branch out into these other areas as we move forward. On Crosland Park, we are reorganizing our approach in that effort. We have identified a potential marketing opportunity. This originated out of the Aiken Corporation. Pat Cunning and his group have actually offered to take over a house and sell, and they're going to use one of the houses that were purchased with Aiken Corporation funds. We have two other realtors who are doing a marketing analysis on those houses. We're going to meet as a group and then proceed with our marketing. We are looking at some additional national marketing opportunities we have, some at very low cost, some at no cost at all. And then the last item I had here was the Employee Awards Day. We've actually received a bid for a breakfast. The date will be December 7, which is a Friday. But we may have an opportunity to actually have a breakfast this year as opposed to a lunch.
That's if we want to.
Right. And again, the breakfast opportunity is something that was a suggestion that came from staff. And potentially would be very helpful with the lunch. We do have staff that wind up working a full day, even though it's supposed to be an awards day with the afternoon off. Staff has looked at this, and if we had a breakfast event instead of a lunch event, it would actually give an opportunity for everyone to have that afternoon off as a gift to Captain. Then, Mr. Evans, we have the discussion of potential appointees to boards, commissions, and committees.
Does this make it isn't that supposed to be an agenda item?
It is on the agenda as information. Mm-hmm. Mr. Smith,
that satisfies the requirement. And he asked me about it beforehand, and I told him I thought that would be effective. As long as it's on the agenda, the public has knowledge that we're going to discuss that.
And yeah, so we publish this entire agenda.
So anything that's under information, if I wanted to make a motion to change something, one of these public safety reports or building inspection reports, I could do
that. If you wanted to discuss those, that would be an appropriate agenda item to discuss.
Yeah, but we couldn't bring up a motion or anything like that.
Correct. It's information. It's provided as information only. You're not going to vote, for example, you're not going to vote tonight on the appointment of somebody to the Planning Commission, but you can let everybody know that you'd like that it could be brought before City Council at the next City Council meeting.
We didn't have any appointments last meeting?
No. There's no approvals tonight. We're just
You didn't have any appointments tonight.
Okay. That's why you can discuss a potential appointee that you're not.
I just clarification because
yes,
every time we get something that closes us down, what we can do.
No. I'm struggling to open things up for you. That's why I've done it this way.
Are we open for business yet on that one?
Yeah. Do we have any?
I would like to nominate Mr. Jack Hunter for the Planning Commission. And I have the sheet filled out that I'll give to the city clerk to put in the minutes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to recommend a reappointment of Liz Stewart to the Planning Commission.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. That's it. Nothing else, huh?
There is an executive session item.
Yes, that's right.
Here for the employee incentive and
absolutely.
City manager review and compensation.
Yeah.
I would request that we vote separately on those two issues for executive session, please.
I don't know if anybody has a problem with that.
What now?
The question is, do we have a motion second to go into executive session then?
Don't move.
Second.
Okay.
We've got two items to go into executive session.
That's right. I was going to say what those were.
I asked if we could vote to go into executive session separately, because I don't believe one of them, in my mind, notwithstanding the city attorney's recommendation, I don't think it's appropriate for executive session. I think it should be a public session.
Right. Well, there are two items.
I'm in favor of the... I don't want to...
You're not saying you don't want to go in for both of them. We go in and talk about both of them.
I'm in favor of executive session for the city manager issue. I'm not in favor of executive session for the other issue.
I think what Mr. Dewar is asking is that first you consider a motion to go into executive session, discuss the first item, and see how that passes by council, and then have a second motion to go into executive session to discuss the second item and see how that passes by council.
Very well worded.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. The first item then.
Mr. I changed my motion to agree with what the city attorney said.
Let's restate the motion. Clear.
If you would please restate my motion, Mr. City Attorney.
The first item to be discussed in executive session would be to discuss an employee incentive matter. If there would be, and you would be moving to allow that to be discussed in executive session.
Okay, that's a motion.
One.
All right. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
And then you would vote on that motion.
Okay. All in, show of hands, please. All in favor.
What now? What do we?
Now what?
This is to go into executive session to discuss the employee incentive.
For the first item. Okay. All right. Well, it passes, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Was it again? Okay.
It's a 6-1, I think.
5-1.
Mr. Wells is out of the room.
Yeah. That's 5-1. All right.
Then the second motion would be to go into executive session to discuss the city manager review and his compensation.
I'll so move.
Okay.
Second.
We have a second? Okay. Any discussion? No. Show of hands to for approval. It passes unanimously.
And Ms. Rideout, I'm guessing Mr. Dewar would like to make sure that vote was clear when you do the minutes for approval of the next council meeting.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank
for me, don't understand why the county couldn't have gotten with us a lot earlier. Why can the people go and put that in the door?
I've had a discussion with them.
I'm going to let these guys come before you first to share.
Are we in executive session? Are we not?